Plasma.
Yes.
At the Plasma.
Holy moly.
1 minute, everyone. 1 minute. All right.
That's so good.
Let's get this.
Like, this is going to be dope. This is going to be dope.
Let's see if we can work it out. We're going to have to fly.
Okay.
Because they're about to bring the guys on the field. Like, this is going to be.
Got it.
Maybe one. I'll feel for it.
Okay.
What do you think? Button or no button?
No button, for sure.
Good evening, everybody, from Greater Nevada Field in downtown Reno. Welcome to Aces Baseball Nevada Sportsnet. Zach Bayrudy, Jessica Kleinschmidt. So glad to have you with us. Game 5 of this series, the Aces, the AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Aviators, the AAA affiliate of the Oakland A's. And Jess, we were here 2 days ago in this space talking about 10 straight wins for the Aces over Vegas. Here we are in the same space now talking about back-to-back losses.
Yeah, where I'm from, that's called a jinx, Zach. And you want to talk about the Aviators offense. Don't sleep on them. Some of those aggressive at-bats turned into extra base hits, and let's not sleep on that pitching either. Overall, I mean, look what the guys are doing.
And for the Aces tonight, Danny Olivero, a pitcher coming up from AA from Amarillo, is going to make his AAA debut. Obviously, there are adjustments to be made going from AA to AAA. These are tough hitters.
Yeah, he is getting his promotion. We're going to see what he's made of, and hopefully he can take advantage of the opportunity.
All right, the Aces and the Aviators, game 5 of this series, and starting lineups and first pitch are up next on Nevada Sportsnet.
Welcome back inside Greater Nevada Field. Zach Bayrudy, Jessica Kleinschmidt, so glad to have you with us on Nevada Sportsnet. Reno Aces Baseball, the Aces, the AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Aviators, the AAA affiliate of the Oakland A's. Let's delve into the starting lineups, and we'll start with the visiting Aviators. It is posted by manager Fran Reardon, leading off the center fielder Mickey McDonald, batting second, catching Bo Taylor. Hitting third, the third baseman David McKinnon, the cleanup batter, left fielder Vince Fernandez. Hitting fifth, at first base, Matt Davidson, batting sixth, the right fielder Billy McKinney, and rounding it out for Vegas. Hitting seventh, the shortstop Kevin Smith, batting eighth at second base, Nate Mondu, and hitting ninth, the designated hitter Jordan Diaz. For the Reno Aces, as posted by manager Gil Velasquez, leading off the center fielder Jordan Luplo, batting second, second baseman Giancarlo Cintron. Hitting third, right fielder Dominic Fletcher. Cleanup batter, first baseman Seth Beer. Hitting fifth, the DH Buddy Kennedy. Batting sixth and catching Dominic Maroglio. Hitting seventh, the shortstop Camden Duzenac. Batting eighth and left field, Jake Hager. And hitting ninth, the third baseman Drew Stankiewicz. The first pitch of our ballgame at 6:45 Pacific time, and it's in for a called strike, and it's nothing and one. And the game time temperature is 94 degrees here in downtown Reno. Danny Oliveira deals low and in. And the count is one ball and one strike. The defense behind Oliveira making his AAA debut. Left to right in the outfield, Jake Hager, Jordan Luplo, and Dominic Fletcher. That's bounced up the first baseline, but kicks foul about halfway up. And it's now 1-2. The infield, third to first, Drew Stankiewicz, Camden Duzenac, Giancarlo Cintron, and Seth Beer. Dominic Maroglio behind the plate. And the aforementioned right-hander, Danny Oliveira, after 20 starts with Amarillo this season, where he went 2-9 with a 6.19 ERA, is making his AAA debut. The native of Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic delivers, and a swing and a line drive toward the left field corner. That is going to get down in foul territory, so it stays 1-2 on McDonald.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It was a flurry to try and get in these chairs. Got through the open and managed to beat the buzzer before the anthem. And
Shout out to Zach Bayrudy, though. That was a really fun, high-pressure moment that I got to be a part of. Don't ever do that again, though.
I won't. Here's the 1-2, and it swung on and tapped off the glove of Oliveira, and then underneath the glove of Giancarlo Cintron, and that will be probably a hit for McDonald. And we'll see how they score it, but it was glanced off the glove of Oliveira, and at that point it becomes a non-routine play for Cintron, and that will be a hit for Mickey McDonald, and that is how our ball game begins. So in from the right side, or from the left side, I beg your pardon, is Bo Taylor. McDonald leading off of first. And a pitch on the way is swung on and lifted to left center field. Jake Hager going back angle to his left, and Hager extends up and makes a fine catch on the warning track. Bo Taylor trying to visit the gap in left center field, and Jake Hager patrolling well out there. Hager, super utility man, an infielder by trade, but Hager doing a great job out there in left center.
Yeah, I've seen him a lot at shortstop lately, and you mentioned how versatile he is. He looks like a natural out there right now. You had to convince me he wasn't actually an outfielder. I said, I don't believe you.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't put it past Jake Hager to look the part, because he could pretty much play everywhere. So here is David McKinnon, and McKinnon, the right-hander, will take a strike, and it's nothing in one. McKinnon batting .328, 15 homers, 52 runs batted in. Again, most of those numbers accumulated with Salt Lake.
I want to point out the wind was insane not too long ago.
And now we got nothing. So that pitch is outside, and it's 1-1. Welcome to our audience, by the way, tuning in on the Aces Digital Network as well as we simulcast tonight. Again, Zach Bayrudy, Jessica Kleinschmidt. Glad to have you with us wherever you are. NSN, MILB-TV, on the radio. We're here for you. Here's the 1-1, and a swing and a foul tip into the mitt of Maroglio, and it's now 1-2. The sun streaking across from right center field into straightaway center. And right now, the sun is shining like a spotlight on Jordan Luplo out there. He's the only outfielder that's being hit by the sun.
That's pressure.
I know, right? The pitch. Runner goes, and it is low. The throw to second is on the money from Dominic Maroglio. And the tag applied by Giancarlo Cintron. And a 2-4 put out. Mickey McDonald, who's very fast, is caught trying to steal.
Yeah, look at the glove placement here. McDonald practically slides into it, and that's the money catch and the money play that you want on those each and every time.
For Mickey McDonald, the fourth time that he's been caught stealing in his 11th attempt. Great throw down by Maroglio. Pitch is swung on and looped toward shallow left. Hager got a late start, but Hager will get there and make the catch, and that ends the inning. So again, the caught stealing help there for Olivero, and he faces the minimum in the first. No runs, a hit, no errors, and none left. We played half an inning at Greater Nevada Field. It's the Aviators nothing, and the Aces coming up on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. No score, bottom of the first inning at Greater Nevada Field. Zach Beirutti, Jessica Kleinschmidt, glad to be with you on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Hogan Harris is ready to go to work. And Gil Velasquez is talking with one of the umpires. Our umpiring crew, by the way, Eric Bacchus, the crew chief behind the plate, up the first baseline, Mark Stewart, and across the way at third, Tom Hanahan. I'm not sure what the deal is here. Looks like the home plate umpire is not on the field.
We've been there.
Yeah. Maybe, you know.
I get it.
Anyways, the Aviators defensively, the outfield left to right, Vince Fernandez, Mickey McDonald, and Billy McKinney. The infield third to first, David McKinnon, Kevin Smith, Nate Mondu, and Matt Davidson. Bo Taylor behind the plate. And Hogan Harris, the southpaw on the mound. He's making his fourth AAA start and appearance in his career. 0-2 with a 6.75 ERA. He's allowed 8 runs, 7 of them earned on 8 hits in 9 and a third innings. A lot of strikeouts, 19 strikeouts to 9 walks in 9 and a third. Gil Velasquez flapping with Tom Hanahan, the third base umpire. Everybody's all smiles down there, so obviously it's not an emergency or anything like that, nothing serious.
Reminds me of one Mr. Aldo, Mike Aldretti, the A's quality control coach, during his time with the Cardinals. He was the first base coach. He had to use the restroom. No, I believe somebody got ejected and he had to fill in really quickly, so he had to change into an actual uniform. And he wasn't quite getting his uniform fully on while he was running out. So one of those situations.
Well, it's weird. Obviously, this isn't like the start of the game, so you know we've played half an inning. And I saw, if I was seeing correctly, inside the Aces dugout, there is a restroom in there, but the door is open, so no one's in there. So I don't know what could be happening here. And here we go. Eric Bacchus is out.
Getting a nice ovation, even a small little ovation for him, too, like, thank you.
It also could
Look
have
at
been,
Bo.
It also could have been something with the ABS. Trying to read lips, obviously, and see. I don't know if Eric Bacchus had to use a restroom or if maybe something was wrong with his earpiece. But either way, we know it's not Enrico Palazzo back there. Is that swung on and driven deep to center field? Going back is McDonald, and Jordan Luplo on the first pitch thrown by Hogan Harris takes him deep. Straightaway center field, dead central, and the Aces have a 1-0 lead.
say it once, say it again. This guy loves doubles and he loves dingers. And when it comes to him, we haven't seen him hit leadoff yet. And when you're a leadoff hitter, you want to attack the pitcher right off the bat, no pun intended. That's exactly what he did.
Ambushed a 93-mile-an-hour fastball thrown by Hogan Harris. So Jordan Luplo goes yard to give the Aces a start here in the bottom of the first inning. And now Giancarlo Cintron. And the pitch is taken up high, ball one. Center fielder McDonald is slightly towards left. And Harris into his motion and the pitch. And it is going to miss up high. And it's two balls and no strikes. That was 105 miles an hour off the bat, 455 feet, according to TrackMan, off of Luplo's bat. Pitch is swung on and fouled back to our right. And it's 2-2.
Yeah, Luplo wants those consistent at-bats, and he's being very consistent, hitting balls far.
2-1, beg your pardon, to a Cintron. The pitch is up high, and now 3-1. Hogan Harris out of Louisiana Lafayette, and he was a third-round selection of the A's, the 85th overall pick in the 2018 draft. And the pitch is swung on in line to a deep left angle, back to his left, Fernandez, and Fernandez has to watch it go off to his left and one hop the fence. And Giancarlo Cintron has more hits than Motown.
My goodness. We were talking about this. The greatest hits album is going to feature Giancarlo Cintron.
I mean, it is just unreal what Giancarlo Cintron's done this season. He's batting 500 versus lefties coming into this game and doubles off of Harris. And that's two extra base hits given up out of the gate by Hogan Harris. I don't know if Giancarlo's hurt himself, but Mike Powell and Gil Velasquez are going to go over and have a look. And you don't like to see that. JC, I think on that turnaround first, maybe tweet something. Well, hopefully it's just a little pulled muscle or something like that, but he's feeling his left knee. Doesn't appear to be in any kind of pain. Maybe just felt something odd.
Could be jammed a little bit too, but good eyes on the staff for noticing something was off.
Again, it was on that turnaround first, and you start running at that angle, and you never know when something might get to.
Well, especially at your age, Zach, not mine, but at your age.
I was going to say,
things
I'd be
hurt.
The first to admit.
Things hurt. And you sometimes can't explain why.
Yeah, wait till you get to 40. I mean, I'm not there yet, but
right.
Short order. So Dominic Fletcher in from the left side. And the pitch. And Fletcher bunts third base side, but it's foul. So the leadoff homer by Luplo, the double by Cintron.
Aces are doing their best to pounce on them as quickly as possible so they can avoid what they've done the opposite of in the last couple of games.
That would just fall behind. The Aviators had scored each of the first innings the last two contests. There's the 0-1. And that one is a strike on the outside from Harris. And the count nothing in two.
I can't confirm this, but it looks like Hogan Harris, part of the reason he's with the A's could just be his aesthetic. The beard, very much an A's vibe. Or the mustache, I should say.
There's the 0-2, and it's in the dirt, and it kicks to the backstop, and up to third base on a wild pitch goes Cintron. So the Aces set up even better here. Now JC 90 feet away with nobody out.
Yeah, and you see Bo Taylor. He's not going to rush too hard. He knows what Cintron's capable of, trusting his pitcher to cover in that situation.
No balls and two strikes. One ball and two strikes, I beg your pardon, to Fletcher. 0-2 on the board, but 1-2 in real life. There's the pitch. And it is wide. And now 2-2. Infield is drawn in here for the Aviators, who have their orange tops tonight with the blue sleeves. Harris delivers. And a swing and a little flare shallow left, and that will drop for a base hit. It will score Cintron, and Dominic Fletcher makes it 2-0 Reno. Fletcher got behind two strikes and then found one to flare the opposite way into left.
Well, I love him hitting the third spot as well, just to move some of those runners around. Usually a leadoff guy that I've been seeing him, so it's kind of fun to see him watch bringing guys like Cintron in.
So
a man who needs no introduction.
Yeah. Yeah, after Fletcher takes care of the RBI opportunity, the fans let you know who is hitting in the cleanup spot tonight. And that's Seth Beer batting 230 with 13 homers and 53 runs batted in. So the Aces have almost hit for the cycle here in the first inning as a team versus Hogan Harris. A home run, a double, and a single. Here's the pitch, and Beer takes a slow pitch, 70 miles an hour, curveball to the outside for strike one.
I know we talked about a combined no-hitter. What are your thoughts on a combined cycle? I'm just kidding.
Overrated. The pitch is swung on and lifted to left. This is toward the line. It's a long run for everybody, and it will drop fair, maybe by less than a foot. And heading to third base is Fletcher, and he's in there. And Seth Beer has a double, and it's the third extra base hit for Reno this inning.
We were talking about yesterday, the guys were struggling to get those extra base hits. They're doing everything in their power to make us eat our words, and I really appreciate that.
Well, baseball is a funny game. The Aces could not find any traction whatsoever. They had hits in many innings yesterday. They had a hit in each of the first six innings, but they could never get two hits in an inning. And here in the bottom of the first, they've strung together four, and again, three for extra bases. So second and third, still nobody out, and Buddy Kennedy, who's in from the right side, the infield is in for the Aviators. And the Aces have a chance to do major damage here in the first as that pitch in tight. Buddy batting 274, five home runs and 32 runs batted in. Outfield straight away, McDonald maybe a step towards right. And the 1-0 is swung on and lifted foul out of play to the right, and it's even at 1-1. No longer any sun on the field, so the shadows have taken over the field. See the sun shining on the Wells Avenue bridge off in the distance. Here's the 1-1, and a swing and a foul off to the right above the suites near the production room. Karam's back down in the first level. Aces are wearing their magical evening uniforms tonight. Maroon and gold. Here's the 1-2, and a swing and a foul. Again, sprayed off to the right. That'll go over the production room and out of play. Hogan Harris, a guy that has dealt with some injuries with his elbow, missed a season due to Tommy John surgery. That was 2021. Here's the pitch, and it's in the dirt. And it's two balls and two strikes. Harris began the season with the high A club in Lansing, made seven starts with the Lugnuts, and in 13 innings had a 1.38 ERA, was sent to Midland in eight appearances, seven starts, had a 1.67 ERA in 32 innings. A swing and a line drive deep to left. Fernandez angled to his right, reaches up and makes the catch. It'll get him in, though, as Fletcher able to tag and score easily from third on a sack fly by Buddy Kennedy, and the Aces make it a 3-0 advantage here out of the gate. Nice job there by Kennedy getting a pitch to drive. And a nice play by Fernandez out there on the warning track.
Yeah, those plays, they show how hard the ball's actually hit. Kind of carried him a little bit toward the end.
So in from the right side is Dominic Maroglio, now with one out in the inning. Seth Beer, the lone runner at second, and Maroglio takes a strike on the outside. Dom batting 263, nine homers and 33 runs batted in. As Jess mentioned, there is barely a breath of wind at the moment. Those flags are more or less dormant out there. Here's the pitch, and a swing and a foul back, and it's nothing in two.
It was tough when I parked walking into the stadium. Hair was just everywhere. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, the balls are going to fly like crazy tonight.
You know, we haven't had a ton of wind at night.
I swear, I don't know if I'm bad luck or something, but it's always windy until I'm here.
It's a swing and a foul back, so it stays nothing in two on Maroglio. That's just because Reno knows you're coming back, and they don't want to mess up the royal hair.
Yeah, that's a thing. I measure the wind by how annoying it is with the hair and the lip gloss. You get it.
I don't, actually. No balls and two strikes to Maroglio. And a pitch is swung on and bounced to the left side. It's going to be taken on the second hop by Smith, glove side. He throws to first in time to get Maroglio, and that is out number two. So Beer is still at second base with two outs, and Camden Dusenak will come up next. Dusenak in from the right side. Speaking of super utility, we saw Dusenak play first base the other night here, and that completed all nine positions that he's played this season. All he had left to do is play first base, and he did so the other night as that pitch is low and inside, ball one.
We should make him, you know those maps where people like to put the pins where they've traveled the
world?
We should do that for him for each position that he has played. It'd be very easy.
I think that would be pretty cool. I will take care of it.
I can do that.
Here's the 1-0 pitch and a swing and a pop-up. And this is going to be shallow right field. Mondu is angled out. Coming in is McKinney. McKinney calls Mondu, and he makes the catch. So McKinney, the right fielder, puts it away, and the side is retired, but not before the Aces get three runs, four straight hits out of the gate, including a leadoff homer on Hogan Harris's first pitch off the bat of Jordan Luplo. There were no Aviator errors and one man left stranded. To the second inning, the Aces 3, the Aviators nothing on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Home team with a 3-0 lead going to the top of the second inning. Aces taking it to Hogan Harris in that first. The four straight hits, including a Luplo home run. Doubles from Giancarlo Cintron and Seth Beer and Dominic Fletcher, an RBI single. Add two at a sack fly off the bat of Buddy Kennedy. And it all amounted to a 3-run bottom of the first for Reno. And Vince Fernandez comes up next. He'll be followed by Matt Davidson and Billy McKinney. And Fernandez in from the left side. Fernandez, a good night last night. He hit a 2-run homer, also doubled. He went 2-for-4. And the pitch is low, ball one. They overload the right side of the infield, 3 to the right of second. The third baseman, Stankiewicz, at the edge of the cutout, tight to the infield. Grass, a swing, and a two-hopper to Seth Beer, and that's as easy as they come. As Beer takes it, 3 unassisted. One up and one down for Danny Olivero here in the second inning. Olivero gave up an infield single to Mickey McDonald to begin the first and then got back-to-back flyouts to left after McDonald was caught trying to steal.
You know, as standard as a play that was, it has been nice seeing Seth Beer's defensive capabilities improve over time.
And you know what? The organization's really taken notice of that this season as the pitch is swung on and scalded. It pinballs off the front of the mound and right to the overshifted second baseman Cintron, like ski ball at the arcade off the front slope of the mound, but right to Cintron for out number two. Boom.
Well, for now, since the shift exists, take advantage of it.
Friendly bounce there for Danny Olivero, and with two away, Billy McKinney coming up next. They keep that same shift on that they had for Fernandez. McKinney takes low ball one. That's three to the right of second. We've seen the shifts in its different forms in this inning. They've shifted now to the right side twice, and they were obviously to the left versus Davidson. The pitch is low and in, and it's two balls and no strikes.
I'm watching McKinney quite a bit over the series. He has a huge swing, and I would really like to see him shorten that up a little bit. Maybe not against this pitcher, but in the future.
Pitch is off the outside, and it's three balls and no strikes. Olivero, in 96 innings with Amarillo, had 77 strikeouts, 34 walks. 3-0, and it's low ball four. That was a four-seam fastball there, 93. And McKinney takes a walk, and that's the first walk surrendered by Olivero, and it disrupts his bid at a 1-2-3 inning.
And we're not going to see any of his swings, so now it remains a mystery.
Kevin Smith in from the right side, and Smith batting 220, two homers and 30 runs batted in. Feels like we're suspended between daylight and darkness right now. Still blue sky overhead, but dark on the field. Those lights haven't taken effect yet. And a pitch is taken low, ball one.
Suspended between daylight and darkness?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a band I listened to and like followed on the road to go watch them at Warped Tour.
Were you there, Penny Lane?
100%.
There's the 1-0. And it's low. Two balls and no strikes. So right now, Olivero, after getting two quick outs, is having trouble finding the zone. He's going to take a little stroll behind the slab.
You know, you said it heading into the opening. It's a great reminder that with every promotion, that's a new level of baseball. And I feel like it takes a while to adjust.
2-0, and it is just wide, and three balls and no strikes. We're dealing with a lot, obviously, the different level, the different hitters, but also some different surroundings. And I think that's an underrated element of what these guys go through when they do come up or, you know, maybe go down. And you're dealing with completely different surroundings than what you become used to. As a 3-0 pitch is taken for a strike, and it's 3-1. I mean, add to it, it's a bigger stage.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's more people here, and obviously that means more pressure and, you know, from the A side, a lot of transitions because the organization wants to get some of these guys a taste of it.
Pitches swung on and bounced foul, third base side off the top of the dugout.
And even for us, like, we don't have a lot of exposure to some of these pitchers, so we don't really know what to expect.
Yeah, certainly our first look at Danny Olivero. Payoff pitch, and it's low, ball four. And Olivero there went with a cutter, and he just missed off the outside with it. It was down for sure, but as far as the strike zone, it just missed off the outside and it missed low. So back-to-back walks after back-to-back outs, and now Nate Mondu. Mondu's had a good series, batting 283, seven homers and 52 runs batted in. And Olivero delivers, and Mondu takes a strike on the outside. They have a balanced infield behind Olivero for Mondu. Shortstop Duzenac shaded toward the middle. Third baseman Stankiewicz is midway and about 12 feet or so off the line. The pitch is low, and it's one ball and one strike. Olivero began the season with a high A club in Hillsboro, made three starts, had a 2.60 ERA in 17 and a third innings. And the pitch is going to be a ball. They appeal, check, swing, and no, says the third base umpire, Tom Hanahan.
You know, with some of these at bats with a pitcher like this who's walking guys, you know, two in a row, it's a good opportunity for these hitters to trust some of their patience at the plate as well.
Pitch is swung on and fouled back, and it's 2-2. Yeah, Mondu got himself ahead in the count.
And he's a guy who wants to swing at a pitch.
Mondu also a great two-strike hitter. Two balls and two strikes. And the pitch. And Mondu takes strike three called. Well, Olivero got out the paintbrush that time and hit the inside corner. And Nate Mondu is rung up to end the inning. So Olivero works around the back-to-back two-out walks and collects his first AAA strikeout. No runs, no hits, no errors, and two left. And go to the bottom of the second. It's the Aces 3, the Aviators nothing on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Aces a 3-0 lead, bottom of the second inning, and batters 8, 9, and 1. Jake Hager, Drew Stankiewicz, and then Jordan Luplo, the top of the order, as Hager swings and fouls that pitch off to the right for strike one. Hague's batting 226, three homers, and 31 runs batted in. Left fielder for the Aces tonight. Arena with a 3-0 lead. Harris delivers, and Hager takes up high, and it's one ball and one strike. Big swings in that first inning for the Aces offense.
Yeah, like I said, they're trying to pounce as early as possible. I know the last couple of games that was not in their MO. They just don't want to go back down that road again. Or it's a too little too late mentality.
Fouled back to the right, and it's one ball and two strikes. Here's the pitch and a swing and a miss. That was a nasty pitch there from Hogan Harris, a curveball biting in on Hager. And for Hogan Harris, that's his first strikeout tonight.
Ooh.
Nasty stuff.
Ooh.
So one away, and Drew Stankiewicz in from the right side. And a pitch. And Stankiewicz swings and loops one into left center field and a base hit. It's going to be cut off by Fernandez, and Stankiewicz, jumping on the first pitch, is one for one.
Yankee, Stanky Yankee.
Drew, the son of Andy Stankiewicz, who played for the Las Vegas 51s, by the way, back in the day.
Wow.
So now Jordan Luplo in from the right side. And the stretch in the pitch is up high, ball one. Harris trying a changeup that time, and it floated up high. Congrats to the Nevada Wolfpack football team. They defeated Texas State today 38-14. Nevada now 2-0 in the Ken Wilson era. Here's the 1-0. And a swing and a fly ball drilled to right. McKinney's going back. McKinney's on the track, and McKinney watches it fly into the bullpen. And Jordan Luplo, another home run. Luplo homers for the second time in as many innings, a two-run shot, and it's 5-0 Reno.
I mean, what can I say that hasn't been said, Zach?
Doubles and dingers.
Doubles and dingers.
So Jordan Luplow, big part of this Aces attack here early. Two homers in two innings.
You know, he was just with the big league club not too long ago, and he was talking about working on getting some of that confidence back, and I'm just going to say it night and day, always adds a point to his own mentality when he hits a home run. So those points are racking up.
Pitch in for a strike, and it's nothing and one to Giancarlo Cintron, who doubled his only other time up. And a pitch, and Cintron swings and tops it foul back of the plate, and it's nothing and two. A DeLuplo home run, 409 feet, exit velocity of 102 miles an hour, the opposite way. There's the 0-2, and a swing, and that's a line drive left field. That'll get down. It'll be another extra base hit for Giancarlo Cintron, who's around first, and Cintron into second with his second double in as many innings. And this inning's starting to turn into a carbon copy of the first.
Just more phenomenal at-bats and bat-on-ball work by Cintron.
And that time, Cintron, a clean turnaround first. Remember, he kind of tweaked something his last time, and good to see that that was nothing.
He's so smart, too. He knows exactly where he wants the ball to go. He makes sure there's a gap there, and he finds that gap. It's insane.
Guy that covers a ton of the plate, as does this guy, Dominic Fletcher. Fletcher, one for one, an RBI single, beg your pardon, single his only other time up.
Pants are already dirty, Zach.
That's right. Pitch is fouled off on a check swing. He got jammed there. That was a fastball in on the hands and up high. And more or less in self-defense, Fletcher fouls that off for strike one.
I know we were talking about Eric Burns heading into the break, and I get vibes from Dominic Fletcher about him. Pigpen was one of his nicknames because he was always dirty from diving for balls. Watching him a lot out here at Greater Nevada Field, too, when I was younger.
Pitch low and outside, and it's one ball and one strike. You got to see Eric Burns out here?
I did. I remember there were times I would specifically come to watch him, knowing he was on a rehab assignment, and then you'd see, like, Chris Young out here, too, and the outfielder Chris Young, of course, and that was always really fun to see. And you would think, I think sometimes Burns, he would start in center field, and then he'd somehow end up in the dugout going for a ball.
Fletcher shoots that one foul off to the left. So one ball and two strikes to Dominic Fletcher with Giancarlo Cintron at second base. Two runs in this inning for the Aces, who lead it 5-0. Again, Jordan Luplow with two home runs. The pitch is way outside, and it's 2-2. So Harris wasting one there, seeing if Fletcher might be willing to chase. He was not. Harris with the 2-2, and a swing and a flare foul off to the left. So a good battle here between Hogan Harris and Dominic Fletcher. Harris has eclipsed half of his pitch count tonight. He's not going to throw any more than 80. And that was his 40th pitch. Two balls and two strikes. And a pitch. A swing and a bounce to the left side. It's going to be two hops. Speared by Smith, the shortstop, throw to first in time to get the hustling Dominic Fletcher for out number two. Cintron has to stay put at second base. And now with two away, Seth Beer comes up.
You know, for Hogan Harris, who's been at every level this season, he said each level he's reminded that these hitters are more and more patient. But I don't think he's seeing that tonight. I don't necessarily think it's anti-patience, but these guys are just being extra aggressive against him. I know he was struggling with some of these walks, so there's that possible positive to take away. But these guys are just, they haven't figured out.
Yeah, they have been very proactive at times early in the count as that pitch is outside in ball one to Seth Beer. He stoinked a double down the left field line his only other time up.
Stoinked?
Yeah.
Love that.
Just fair, and it was a little flare inside the line. Pitch. And it is in tight. Two balls and no strikes. pitches outside, and it's 3-0. This is our ode to Harry Potter tonight. Magical night with the Aces. Was it butterbeer that they drink?
Yeah, and you know, I had butterbeer before.
Yeah, Disney, right?
It's so, well, no, you go on Pinterest and you make it yourself.
Oh, okay.
Zach. Some of us can't afford the luxury of going to Disneyland.
The 3-0 is taken for a strike, and it's 3-0.
I wish I had that amount of money. Be like, I want a butterbeer, so I'm just going to go to Disneyland and get one.
Because that's the only place that's being served. That's the only place that's on tap.
Yeah. I always try to find, like, the duplicate recipes, like after Cheesecake Factory and stuff like that, always.
That is outside, ball four. So Seth Beer draws a walk, and he remains one for one, and Buddy Kennedy coming up next.
Looks like I jinxed him on the walk usage.
For Hogan Harris, the first walk that he's issued.
I have to imagine what that mentality is like, going to three different levels in one season.
Fran Reardon has come out, and there was a right-hander throwing in the bullpen. That's going to be a short outing here for Hogan Harris, 46 pitches. So he talked about how he wasn't going to throw more than 80 tonight. He's only going to get to 46, and these have been rugged innings for Hogan Harris. So an early exit for him, and with two on and two out here in the second inning, it'll be a new pitcher coming in to face Buddy Kennedy, and I can tell you exactly who that is. That's Brian Howard. I know, because you can't miss him at 6'9". So we'll take this call to the bullpen break. We're back with the Aces leading 5-0 after this in the bottom of the second on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. The Aces a 5-0 lead. We're still in the top or the bottom of the second, with the Aces having scored 3 in the first and so far 2 in the second. And here's Brian Howard, the 6'9" right-hander, who we saw here on Wednesday in long relief. He pitched 3 1/3 innings in relief of Jared Koenig, who went just 2/3 of an inning. And it's a similar spot here for Howard, as that pitch is outside ball one, where they're going to ask him to eat some innings after Harris goes just 1 2/3.
I don't know what the other term of long reliever would be, but whatever that term is, Brian Howard has more than earned it. Middle long reliever?
Sure.
Let's go with that.
Here's the 1-0 pitch, and it's swung on and lifted into the twilight sky to right. McKinney angled back to his left, sees it, and he makes the catch. And that. Yeah, last out of the inning, right? Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Everybody was, like, staying put. I think we saw Cintron tag and go to third. I'm like, wait a minute, that's out number three, right? And so it is. Two runs for the Aces, and a familiar source, Jordan Luplo, a two-run homer, his second in as many frames. Two runs on 3 hits, no errors, and 2 left. Heading to the third, it's the Aces 5, the Aviators. Nothing on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. On a beautiful summer night in downtown Reno, Zach Bayrudy, Jessica Kleinschmidt, happy to have you along here on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Well, there's one way to make your starting pitcher comfortable who's making his AAA debut. That's take him to a 5-0 lead over the first two innings. And, Jess, that's kind of a big deal right now with Danny Oliveira, you know, making his AAA debut. Maybe some nerves there. But when your team scores you 5 runs, does that pitch in for a strike and it's nothing in one? 5 runs in 2 innings, you'll settle in a bit easier.
Yeah, take some of that pressure off, maybe some extra padding behind there.
Pitch is swung on and lined to left field. That'll be a base hit. Scalded off the bat of Diaz. And that's the second Aviator hit, the first one that's traveled to the outfield. And it's a leadoff single here in the top of the third.
When talking about Diaz's ability to keep the bat on the ball, and really, if he's the guy that can capitalize that, keep growing on that, he's going to be a stellar hitter, or continue to be a stellar hitter.
Pitches off the outside, ball one to Mickey McDonald, who had an infield single his first time up. So this is the second trip now through the order for Danny Oliveira. And it is low and inside.
You know, we talked about Lublo, who is batting leadoff, of course, for the Aces, and loved to, you know, was attacking very quickly. Mickey McDonald has this mentality as well. I've talked to many guys who they just want to get under a pitcher's skin right out of the gate. And Mickey does that. Very aggressive at the plate without showing too much.
Pitch missing off the outside. So now 3 balls and no strikes to McDonald. Oliveira walked 2 in the second. That pitch inside. And now he's issued his 3rd walk of the outing. He walks McDonald to put 2 on with nobody out here in the 3rd inning. And Bo Taylor coming up with a chance to keep the line moving here for the Aviators.
Yeah, Bo got a hold of one last inning, of course, and went right to somebody. And I think Bo's trying to get right back into the game where he once was, coming more comfortable with the bat once again.
Here's the pitch on the way, and it is swung on and popped up foul out of play to the left, and it's nothing in one. You and I had a chance to chat with Bo a little bit last night. For me, it had been eight years since we talked.
And for me, it had been about 8 innings.
Exactly. I mean, we caught up quickly the other day, but, you know, after the game last night, I had a chance to really catch up about some old times. And for Bo and I going back to Stockton, as that pitch is low, and it's 1 ball and 1 strike, but learned that Bo Taylor carries around a jersey with him that belonged to Sean Murphy, not the catcher, but a former pitcher in the A's system who passed away tragically. He had a heart issue in 2016, and it was very sad, as the 1-1 pitch is in for a strike. And it's 1-2. Sean Murphy was a favorite in the clubhouse. And I found it very touching that Bo still travels with his jersey.
Yeah, and the way that Bo so casually said, "Oh, yeah, I travel with that, and I pray for his family every night." It was amazing. I'm so glad you got to hear that from Bo. That was very special.
1-2 is low, and it's 2 balls and 2 strikes. Sean Murphy, again, not the catcher, but the pitcher, was a guy that was 6'6", built pretty well, a guy from Philly, 33rd rounder, I believe. And he was one of those guys, and we talked about these types of pitchers, Jess, the other night, that the A's did trust to make spot starts at the higher levels as he was going up and through the ranks, as that swung on and missed. And Taylor, with a big rip, comes up empty. He's down on strikes, and that's out number 1 in the 2nd strikeout for Danny Oliveira. And he got the fastball by Bo, and with 1 away, McKinnon coming up, who fly to left his first time up, but to Sean Murphy was that guy. I remember he made his first appearance with the Stockton Ports when we were in Bakersfield. This is, gosh, going back a long ways, maybe 2011 or something like that. And he came up from the Arizona League, and he pitched really, really well as that swung on and looped toward shallow center, and that'll be a base hit for McKinnon. Being held at third base is Jordan Diaz. Of course, he had to hold and make sure that wasn't going to be caught. So McKinnon, with the hit, loads the bases with 1 out, and Vince Fernandez coming up. But I will never forget Sean Murphy, the pitcher, and a guy that always, always competed. And again, Bo Taylor still travels with his jersey.
Just amazing. The good stuff. The stuff you don't get on Baseball Reference or Baseball Cube, which you have turned me into a huge fan of.
Yeah, Baseball Cube's a great site. I just like the way it's laid out.
Can't believe I ever lived without that.
Pitch is swung on and lifted to a left center field. Pretty shallow. Lublo coming in. So is Hager. Hager makes the catch. He's going to fire home. And the throw is in plenty of time. And a double play ends the inning, and what a throw by Jake Hager. Super utility man. And that throw right on the money. A strike to Marolio. And he was waiting with the tag.
Doubles, dingers, and defense, I guess.
So that ends the inning. And 7-2 on that out at the plate. And what a throw. No runs after the Aviators load the bases with one out. No runs, two hits, no errors. And after that, two men left and going to the bottom of the third. It's the Aces 5, the Aviators nothing on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. Brian Howard delivers his first pitch of the inning to Dominic Marolio, who swings and misses. And Marolio, who made the tag on that brilliant throw by Jake Hager, the double play to end the top of the third. And the pitch is low and outside, and it's one ball and one strike.
You were talking about how Dominic Marolio just put his glove out there. He had so much trust that that was going to occur.
And his posture gave the runner no indication that the throw was going to be on the money as that's outside, and it's 2-1.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Just kind of stood there, and it actually fooled me because I'm like, wait, this throw seems pretty online. We have a pretty good view of it. And sure enough, Marolio was just deking the runner as that swung on and missed, and it's 2-2. The runner coming down the line, Jordan Diaz. And Marolio did not tip his hand that the throw was going to be on the money from Jake Hager, who has a great arm. Of course, Hager, a shortstop by trade. The 2-2 is swung on and fouled back.
I told Marolio just yesterday how underappreciated the catcher position is, and I feel like now he's just like doubling in, saying, Jess, confirming and reconfirming.
Two balls and two strikes to Marolio, who again grounded a shortstop his first time up, and the 2-2 is a breaking ball. Strike three called as there is a big Brian Howard curve, 70 miles an hour. What a hook there from Brian Howard.
Wow.
For Howard, his first strikeout, he's retired back-to-back hitters that he has faced. Howard came in with two on and two out in the second inning. And he got Buddy Kennedy to fly to right and strikes out Marolio now to begin the bottom of the third. And the pitch to Duzenac is taken for a strike. Duzenac flied to right his only other time.
I just think that's so brilliant that Marolio did that. It just blows my mind. It's like the little thing of baseball that you don't think about, but it makes a huge difference. Runner coming in, you're like, there's no way that this ball's coming in. Oh, gorge.
The 0-1 is swung on and fouled back, and it's nothing in two. He gave Jordan Diaz no signal to either try and change his trajectory coming into the plate or to maybe try and get into a motion to slide.
Dubbed it the trust fall of throws home.
I like it. The 0-2 is swung on and lifted to right. Billy McKinney looking up into the charcoal sky now backpedals some, and he makes the catch for out number two. Twilight here in downtown Reno, so it can be tricky right now with the twilight and the stadium lights. As Jake Hager, who made that brilliant throw, will come up with two outs and the base is empty. Hager struck out swinging, and he was Hogan Harris's only strikeout victim. Harris went an inning and two-thirds, gave up 5 runs on 7 hits. As Hager swings and puts bat to ball, but this is lofted to the big part of the outfield. It was hit well, but Mickey McDonald back there in the 424-foot gap, and he makes the catch, and that ends the inning. So 1-2-3 work by Brian Howard, and nothing across for the Aces in the third. We go to the middle innings, top of the fourth, where it remains the Aces 5, the Aviators nothing on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. First pitch of the inning from Danny Olivero will miss outside and low. Ball one to Matt Davidson, the former ace, batting .298, 21 homers and 47 runs batted in. That's combined Reno and Vegas as that's fouled at the plate, and it's 1-1. Again, Davidson had 8 home runs in 11 games with the Aces to start the season. Was recalled by the Diamondbacks and then DFA'd and picked up by the A's, where he has split time between Vegas and Oakland. The 1-1 is swung on and lifted to right field, and Dominic Fletcher can't see it. Fletcher, with that helpless feeling, now does see it, and he is actually in pretty good position to make the catch. And that's out number one, and that's instincts there on the part of Fletcher. He got a look off the bat, but then lost it. But he got himself to a spot where he could easily recover and make that catch.
Yeah, that's tough. I've talked to players about playing in the Coliseum. They get lost in the sun. We don't even think about how it gets lost in the light a lot.
That's one thing I talked about with Jake Hager. I don't know if we had talked about this, Jess, as that pitch is in the dirt ball one. But I asked Jake, you know, what are some of the underrated elements of having to go up and down? He goes, honestly, the biggest one is the lights. Because, you know, in the big leagues, the lights are so much brighter and, you know, everything's so much more well lit. Well, it's because they have to light a bigger ballpark, as that pitch is a strike on the outside corner and it's 1-1. It's not so much that, like, they're spending more on the watts, but you know, they got to light a bigger space. And so when you come to these smaller ballparks, the lights are not as bright. And you run into instances like that. I think that was more twilight-induced, as that's fouled off to the first base side. 1-2. But, you know, I had never really thought about that as far as guys going up and down and having to deal with both types of lights.
That's interesting, yeah. Because, I mean, you go to the ballpark and you have all the surrounding stuff as well. That's a lot of room to light up.
1-2, and a pitch is swung on and fouled at the dish. They've gone off the shin guard of Maroglio. Danny Olivero has done nice in his AAA debut. He's pitched very well. 3 1/3 innings now. I say done nice? I don't know where that came from.
He
has done well.
He really done nice.
Pitch is swung on and looped toward left center field, and that'll be a base hit. And it's going to be cut off by Luplo in the gap, and it's going to be a base hit for Billy McKinney, who's now 1-for-1.
Yeah, Billy McKinney, typically a guy who swings big. It looked like he shortened it up just a little bit. You have to adjust in those elements, send it a little bit oppo. Can I take a moment to say hello to my mom who is watching?
Absolutely.
Hi, Mom. Thanks for watching. Okay, that was a rush. Thank you.
She was up here yesterday. It was yesterday. The pitch is swung on and lifted to straightaway center field. Luplo is moving to his left, and Luplo is settling underneath, and he makes the catch for out number two. So short at bat there by Smith, and now Nate Mondew, but a lovely lady.
She is. She walked in drinking a tall boy. Hi, Mommy. Very. And then I posted a photo of her on Twitter, and people loved it. And thanks
as they
to
should.
The production crew for doing that. She would have loved that.
A pitch is low, ball 1-2, and Nate Mondew. I'd say hi to my mom, too, but she's not watching because she doesn't really know how to turn on a computer.
I get it.
And she's on the East Coast. It's the pitch. And a swing and a tap up the first base side, but foul. She would love it if I gave her a shout-out, though, but, I mean, it's...
I used to get annoyed when people would do that, but now that I have a chance to, because there's certain broadcasts where she can't reach me as far as geographically goes, and now this is what I'm the most excited probably for really my entire career, because she's just right in the backyard right now, and I appreciate you for letting me be a part of it.
Of course. The 1-1 pitch is in for a strike, and it's now 1-2. We appreciate you being here. Zach Beirute, Jess Kleinschmidt. Great to have you with us from Greater Nevada Field. We're in the top of the fourth inning, and the Aces a 5-0 lead. 3 in the first, 2 in the second for Reno. 2 homers from Jordan Luplo. And the pitch swung on by Mondew and lined to left, sinking fast but caught by Jake Hager, who's having a really great night defensively out there in left. Again, an infielder by trade, but Jake Hager looking every bit the outfielder tonight. No runs, a hit, no errors, and 1 left to the bottom of the fourth. The Aces 5, the Aviators nothing on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. How about this setting tonight? Downtown Reno, and the park looks gorgeous on one of the few remaining summer Saturdays.
Good looking night, Zach.
The pitch is going to miss, ball one off the outside to Drew Stankiewicz, who's 1-for-1 with a single and a run scored. Again, the Aces with a 5-0 lead. 3 to the right of second. And here's the pitch. And it is in for a strike. And it's 1-1. This is the penultimate Saturday home game for the Aces. One more Saturday after this, and it's against the Rivercats, who are in town next, as the pitch is in for a strike, and it's 1-2. The Aces travel to Salt Lake City next week and then back home to face the Rivercats, and then they'll head to Vegas for six games, and they're hoping it's the first of two trips in a week to Vegas, or I guess two trips in 2 weeks, because the Aces would head back there if they win the PCL West, as that swung on and missed, and Stankiewicz is down on strikes. And Brian Howard is cruising right along here, five up and five down since he's entered the game.
He's really stepped up, and we've talked about it before. He's definitely stretched out to be a starter, but to be able to come in during this part of the game and just continue to be strong, very fascinating.
Well, Jordan Luplow's homer twice in this game. The first one to straightaway center field. That was on the first pitch thrown by Hogan Harris. And then this one out to right field. Took Harris deep twice, and the pitch is swung on and missed. And it's nothing in one. Luplow wanted some there. Came up empty on an elevated fastball. 93 there from Brian Howard. That's about the top of his velo. Again, Howard with that excellent changeup. And the pitch is swung on and missed. And there it was. And it's nothing in two.
I want to know what Luplow's afraid of. I bet you it's a short list.
Pitch way outside. Saying he's fearless in all aspects?
I bet you it's something random, like styrofoam or something.
Okay, like a phobia?
Yeah, like a weird phobia or something.
There's the 1-2, and it is outside. Maybe singles.
Yeah, he's like 98-mile-an-hour fastballs are nothing. Specialty pitches, uh-uh. But don't put a clown near me.
Are you projecting your fears onto him?
No, we're not quite that deep in the ballgame yet.
It's a swing and a drive. That's way back there, and it's the third home run of the night for Jordan Luplow, and he's hit all fields. Center, right. And now a soaring shot to left. And it's 6-0 Aces.
Nobody is safe from Jordan Luplow. My goodness.
Jordan Luplow in his first week with the Aces is making a huge impression. And everybody all smiles in that Reno dugout, especially Luplow, who descends down the stairwell, gets dapped up, and has his third home run of the game.
Just fantastic. I don't even know what to say anymore.
Here's the pitch, and it is inside. Ball one just off the inside to Cintron. So 3-for-3 with three homers for Luplow. The pitch is low and away, and it's two balls and no strikes. Center fielder McDonald is slightly towards right, and a pitch is swung on and fouled back. The last three-homer game for the Aces was Josh Rojas on rehab last year, August 8th, as the pitch is swung on and lifted toward the right field corner, slicing, but it will get down and stay fair. And this could be the third double for Giancarlo Cintron, and it will be. So Luplow's homered three times, and Cintron's doubled three times.
Sometimes when you repeat actions, the repeated results show off. This is fantastic. It's very aesthetically pleasing, I will say that.
And how about Cintron, that time slicing it the opposite way. Cintron had pulled his first two, and now just extends out, and Giancarlo Cintron is showing you that he can cover all areas of the plate and to handle all types of pitches in a way. Three doubles, and that time the opposite way for Cintron.
Yeah, Luplow getting every part of the outfield as well, and then Cintron showing he's able to drop the ball anywhere with his bat also. It's just, that's a killer combo between those two guys right off the bat.
By the way, the last four-homer game for the Aces was Yasmani Tomas on May 20th, 2019, and that was versus Tacoma. The 1-0 is low and inside, and it's two balls and no strikes. That was a great Ryan Radke call on the Tomas four-homer game, by the way. It's like, yeah. It just plays in my head.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yasmani Tomas has homered four times.
Shout out to Raz, by the way, who's calling the Notre Dame-Ohio State game tonight for Westwood One as that swung on and lifted down the left field line and is slicing into the seats. The 2-1, a swing and a broken bat, flare caught by the first baseman, Davidson. So Fletcher breaks his bat, Davidson makes the grab, and two outs. And now Seth Beer, who's 1-for-1.
Pretty cool to know your walk-up song is just like your name on repeat.
It's got to be music to his ears, right?
Yes.
And a pitch is up and away, ball one. Seth in from the left side with Cintron at second base. And the pitch is taken right down the middle for a strike, and it's 1-1. Here's the 1-1, and it's going to hit him. That got him on the left arm. And that one hurts. Seth wears the elbow guard on his right arm, but I'm guessing by his reaction that got him elsewhere. Oh, got him on the elbow guard, but it got him kind of toward the strap and not the armor. And here comes Fran Reardon, and he will fetch the right-hander who is warming up for the Aviators. So this outing started well for Brian Howard. He retired the first five batters that he faced, but then Luplo homered again. Cintron doubled again. And after Fletcher popped out for the second out, Seth Beer hit by a pitch, and that is it for Brian Howard. So I'll tell you about the new Aviators pitch when we come back after this call to the bullpen break. The Aces 6 and the Aviators nothing on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. We are still in the bottom of the fourth inning, 6-0 Reno, and Tyler Sear is the new pitcher. Sear to face Buddy Kennedy. He takes over for Brian Howard, who went two innings. And Howard gave up two hits both this inning. Another Luplo homer, his third of the game, and then another Cintron double, his third of the game. And the pitch is swung on and fouled back, strike one on Kennedy, who's 0-for-1 with an RBI. Buddy with a sac fly in the first inning. He flied to right his last time up. And again, Cintron at second, and beer at first. Sear delivers, and it's up high. And it's one ball and one strike. Sear has pitched this season with the Phillies, one game in the big leagues, 35 appearances with their AAA club in Lehigh Valley, and this is his fourth appearance with the Aviators. He's being picked up by the A's. We saw him last season in the Giants system with the Sacramentos. That's fouled off to the right, and it's 1-2. And the Giants, his original organization, San Francisco, drafting him in the 10th round in 2015. Out of Embry-Riddle in Daytona Beach. First, he attended Skyline College in San Bruno. You familiar? Those are your parts now.
My parts. Not quite familiar, but I do know they were looking for a diamond in the rough after acquiring off of waivers, because when you acquire for a diamond in the rough, like Cole Irvin, for instance, they're hoping this history repeats itself.
One ball and two strikes after that pitch fouled off by Buddy Kennedy. Center fielder McDonald is slightly towards right. And Sear on the first base side of the rubber. Two on either side of second. And a 1-2 is swung on and grounded up the third base line, but a foul ball. Oh, man, I thought that was fair. And a booze will rain down. I think the fans thought it was fair, too. Obviously, they're biased, but I was taking a look at that. I thought that it was fair, and it was caught by the home plate umpire, Eric Bacchus, was his call. And tough to tell. One ball and two strikes. Here's the pitch. And that one is strike three call. That was a nice changeup there from Sear. And it hit the bottom of the zone. And Kennedy is strikeout victim for the first time. Sear opens with a K. And the inning is over. But the Aces get another run on the third home run of the game by Jordan Luplo. One run, two hits, no errors, and one and two men left on the base. We go to the top of the fifth. It's 6-0 Aces on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. The Aces 6, the Aviators nothing. Zach Beirut, Jessica Kleinschmidt, glad to have you along from Greater Nevada Field, where we have been entranced by Tyler's amazing balancing act between innings.
It's the quietest you and I have been.
Ever see a guy balance a ladder on his chin?
No, just women.
The pitch is taken for a strike, and it's nothing in one. I should have said, have you ever seen a person balance the ladder on their chin? That's exactly what happened there in that inning. Is that inning break? Is that swung on and looped toward right and is going to be caught by Dominic Fletcher for out number one. So Jordan Diaz is now 1-for-2. Now to the top of the order and Mickey McDonald. I live in the Stockton, California area. There is a guy in Stockton that does it on the street, like in medians. I gladly give him a buck or two.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm at a red light.
I wonder
what
their like job title is, what they refer to themselves as.
Pitch in for a strike and it's nothing in one. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That is off the outside, and it's one ball and one strike. It's a pretty cool party trick, though. That's how you have to get into something like that, right? Like at a party one day, you're just like, oh, look what I could do. That is going to be a ball and not a swing on the appeal. It says the third base umpire. So two balls and a strike to Mickey McDonald.
Mickey also said no, so there is that.
It's a swing and a liner into right field and a base hit. You can't keep Mickey McDonald down for long, and if it's tonight, you can't keep him down at all. He's 2-for-2. McDonald, 2 singles, and he's also drawn a walk, so it's the third time he's been aboard.
Talked about his aggressive approach, and very similarly to Sindron, where he just like finds all the spots.
So now Bo Taylor in from the left side. Taylor has flied to left and struck out swinging. Olivero about to throw his 63rd pitch, and it's swung on, bounced foul. Far side of the Vegas dugout, and it's strike one on Bo.
I know you were talking about all these runs scored, giving Olivero a little bit more of a chance to stay out there, and that's just not in addition to get more of the feel for the game and utilizing some of those pitches he might have.
That one is in for a strike, a changeup that time, and it's nothing in two. Olivero throws many variations of the fastball. Sinker, cutter, also throws a slider and a changeup. There's the 0-2 and a swing and a drive that is hit well to right. Fletcher is going to turn, and that one is gone and into the Vegas bullpen. A two-run homer for Bo Taylor comes with one out here in the top of the fifth inning. Those are the first runs given up by Danny Olivero in AAA, and it cuts the Aces' lead to 4 runs. It's now Reno 6 and Vegas 2. So a round tripper for Bo Taylor. And for Bo, that is his third in an Aviators uniform, and this is his 16th game with Vegas.
Nice of him to bring it into a little souvenir out there for your boys.
And from the right side is David McKinnon, and McKinnon 1-for-2, and the pitch is up high and off the glove of Marolio. So we'll see how Olivero responds. Olivero gave up 1 hit in the first, worked around 2 walks in the second, gave up 2 hits in the third, and 1 hit in the fourth as that swung on and popped up. And this is going to be back of first in right field foul territory. Beer at a very tough angle, and Beer trying to make the basket-style catch with his back to the infield and stumbles down, couldn't quite locate where that ball was. Seth comes up wincing a bit.
Personally, I loved the dismount.
I think Seth's all right. That's just it's just weird all around. I think just stumbled there and lost his footing. He's fine.
It's way more smooth than I would have made that look, that's for sure.
The 1-1 is low and outside, and it's 2-1. Would have been a heck of a catch, obviously. Two one to McKinnon is a strike on the outside, and it's 2-2. McKinnon saw his 34 game on base streak come to an end, his first game with the Aviators, and I know that off the top of my head because it was against the Aces in Vegas. That pitch, strike three called, and McKinnon is rung up on a pitch that just grazes the bottom of that 3D strike zone of Hawkeye. And for Olivero, that's his third strikeout. It was also framed well by Marolio. Not that it matters, but I feel like you'd still tip your cap to Dominic Marolio there, one of the best framers. He has mastered that art as the pitch is swung on and missed, and nothing in one to Vince Fernandez. Good cutter there from Olivero. It was not a strike, but he got Fernandez to bite. That one is low.
Seeing if he's going to go after that one, too.
is a swing and a high pop-up. This is now a night sky. But can anyone get to it? It's Stankiewicz, and Stankiewicz just to the left of the pitcher's mound makes the catch. That ends the inning. He was playing back at the shortstop spot in the shift. So a nice job by Stankiewicz to get there and get settled and to make the catch. And the Aviators on the board in the top of the fifth on that two-run homer by Bo Taylor. Two runs, two hits, no errors, and none left. At the bottom of the fifth, it's the Aces 6, the Aviators 2 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. A half moon tonight over Reno, and Dominic Maroglio swings and fouls it back for strike one. Reminds me of the Cookie Monster song, If Moon Were Cookie.
I am unfamiliar, Zach.
Oh, it's a banger.
It's a banger. I'm sure it is.
I think the lyrics go, If Moon Were Cookie, I'd Want to Fly There, as the pitch is
yeah.
And fouled back, and it's nothing in two. We were just, I mean, you weren't there, but the Aces were just in a ballpark where they shared the venue with one of the last guys to walk on the moon, Harrison Schmidt, when we were in Albuquerque.
Love that.
Yeah, he was there. I think it was the second to last game of that series as the pitch is swung on and missed, and Maroglio down on strikes. And that is out number one, and Tyler Sear has struck out both batters that he's faced. Now Dusnak with the Aces leading 6-2.
I personally like to go to the island of the moon, but that's just me.
You and Enya?
Me and Enya. Let's go.
We knew we'd get Sail Away on the broadcast.
Oh, I had to. You teed it up very well.
Pure Moods, Volume 1. Anyone? As that pitch is up high, ball one.
The best.
But that's not your favorite jam from that album.
Okay, we're not... I know you like to pull back the curtain, but Mama's got to keep a little thing, some things to herself.
Here's the 1-0, and it is up high, and it's two balls and no strikes. Just tell the people your favorite song from that album.
Return to Innocence by Enigma.
I thought it was another one.
Adamus?
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
I feel like they're all my favorites.
There's the 2-0 pitch and a swing and a fly ball shallow right, and that'll be a base hit for Camden Dusenak. So Dews with his first hit of the night. He's aboard for the first time. He's 1-for-3, and he becomes the first batter to reach versus Tyler Sear, who took over for Brian Howard with two on and two out in the fourth inning, stranded his inherited runners, getting Kennedy to strike out to end that fourth inning. He struck out Maroglio to start this inning, but now Dusenak the single and Jake Hager coming up. And Hager 0-for-2. He has struck out swinging and fly to center. Pitch is swung on and fouled back and over the netting for strike one. By the way, it's If Moon Was Cookie.
If Moon Was Cookie. Shout out to Matthew Medina for the assist.
The pitch is a strike on the outside corner, and it's nothing and two. If Moon was cookie, me think me would be. Happiest monster you ever see.
Sounds like me on my first broadcast, Zach.
Me put on a spacesuit. Then up through the night, me ride in a rocket to go take a bite. That is Cookie Monster. If Moon was cookie, the pitch is going to miss in the dirt, and the runner was off, and Duzenac will take second base. There was no shot there for Bo Taylor. And Duzenac steals second uncontested. And for Duzenac, his eighth steal in his 11th attempt. Pick the right pitch there to go.
Oh, yeah. Just an all-around stud of an athlete, Duzenac.
Pitches up high, and it is two balls and two strikes.
Because you were talking about every position he's played. It's not just a, we talked about feather tip in your cap. It was just, he plays each position hard as well.
The 2-2, and a swing and a miss, and Hager is down on strikes for a second time. Jake 0 for 3 at the dish. That's the third strikeout for Sear. Still does not have an out on a ball put in play. All three outs he's recorded have been strikeouts. And now Drew Stankiewicz, who singled and scored in the second, he struck out swinging his last time up in the fourth. Yeah, talking about Duzenac, it's not like he's a jack of all trades and master of none. He's a master of all. I mean, he's not going to blow you away on the mound, but, you know.
Neither will we.
He can eat an inning for you as the pitch is off the outside, ball one to Stankiewicz. Shortstop Kevin Smith shaded up the middle. The center fielder McDonald slightly towards left, and now Smith shuffles over to the right side in the shift as that pitch up high. And it's two balls and no strikes to Stankiewicz with Jordan Luplo on deck. Again, Luplo is homered in his three at-bats tonight. Here's the 2-0, and a swing and a miss. 95 on that high heater from Sear, and it's now 2-1. Sear's one appearance with the Phillies this season was his major league debut. Gave up one run on two hits in a third of an inning, and it was a home run. And now a spin and a look back to second base at Duzenac, who goes back standing.
Also, something else you and I noticed last night, Drew Stankiewicz has a very similar autograph to Dan Straley.
Yeah, he signed a ball last night. Remember your family,
for my
right?
My niece, yeah. And I was like, did Dan Straley sign this?
All the way from Korea. Yeah. That swung on and missed.
And he would have, too. He would have happily.
Oh, no doubt.
No problem.
No doubt. Two balls and two strikes. Shout out to Dan, who I think is having some success over there right now in Korea. He is beloved.
He's a god over there, and very rightfully so.
Here's the pitch, and it is off the outside in a full count. Three balls and two strikes to Stankiewicz with Luplo on deck. Three-two, and a swing and a miss, and 95 gets Stankiewicz swinging to end the inning. So Sears strikes out the side with that Duzenac single mixed in. No runs, a hit, no errors, and one man stranded. It'll be Luplo once we get to the sixth. He'll lead off the bottom of the sixth and look for his fourth homer. As we go to the top of the sixth, it's the Aces 6, the Aviators 2 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Under the lights at Greater Nevada Field, Zach Beirute, Jessica Kleinschmidt here on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. We go to the top of the sixth where Reno leads 6-2 and Davidson attacks the first pitch from Olivero and skies it to right center field. Luplo moving to his left makes the catch for out number one. And on one pitch, there's one out in the top of the sixth. Davidson now 0-3 and Billy McKinney is coming up next. McKinney's not been retired tonight. He's 1-for-1. He walked in the second. He singled his last time up in the fourth. I was telling the story, I think it was on Thursday, and maybe we got cut off, about how the last time I had seen Billy McKinney before this season was when he got traded, as that pitch is up high, up and away, ball one, when he was in the on-deck circle for the Stockton Ports, who were at San Jose Municipal Stadium on the 4th of July, and that big trade went down with the Billy McKinney, Dan Straley, and Addison Russell being shipped to the Cubs. Is that pitch in for a strike? And it's 1-1 for Jeff Samardzija.
Addison Russell. You want to talk about just a phenomenal athlete. I remember, maybe here's a good name drop for you, Zach Thornton. Telling me when he went up against Addison Russell, he was the real deal. And we got to talk about Dan Straley again. I remember that trade very well.
Pitch is low.
Samardzija,
it's 3-1.
Didn't he get? Yeah, he got selected for the All Stars, but he had to represent the Cubs that year because of that trade. So he was hanging out with all the A's guys, but wearing a Cubs uniform.
One is fouled up the first base side. 3 balls and 2 strikes. Jason Hamill was the other guy the A's acquired, and I knew there was another guy in there, but Samardzija was the guy they were really after. That was in 2014 when the A's were going all in, and I just remember, you know, it was, Twitter was a thing. It wasn't like it is now. But once the news spread throughout the press box, like, everybody's jaws dropped, said, wow, the A's are really going for it. Is that strike three called? And McKinney is rung up on a pitch that hits the outside corner. And Danny Olivero has dealt tonight. Olivero gave up the 2-run homer to Bo Taylor in the fifth, but outside of that, he's been sensational. And that's his 4th strikeout.
It's that same theme we've seen throughout with these young pitchers. You know, maybe the struggles a little bit, and he was struggling with some walks there, but evening himself out. And lucky enough to have some of those offensive runs scored for him, adding to those insurance runs, and then being able to take off the edge a little bit and finally get himself settled.
This is his 81st pitch, and it is inside to Kevin Smith, who's 0-for-1 with a walk. He fly to center his last time up.
I've seen Kevin Smith on each ounce of this infield this series, it feels like.
Swing and a chop foul up the third base side. 1 ball and 1 strike. Cintron, the second baseman, shaded toward the middle. The outfield straight away. And Olivero deals the 1-1, and it's swung on, popped up. And this is Maroglio in the hitter's circle, and Maroglio now back of the hitter's circle makes the catch, and that ends the inning in an easy 1-2-3 worked by Danny Olivero. And for Olivero, that is his first clean inning of the night, and nothing across for the Aviators in the top of the sixth. We go to the home half, and Jordan Luplo will lead it off for the Aces, looking for his 4th homer of the night, with the Aces leading 6-2 on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. The Aces 6 and the Aviators 2. Zach Beirute, Jessica Kleinschmidt on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. This series concludes tomorrow, final game of this set. And it's going to be a bullpen game for the Aces. Colin Wiles is scheduled for the Aviators. 6:05 first pitch. Jess will be back with me on the radio side and on MILB TV tomorrow. It's a 5:55. We'll have our pregame coverage. And for tickets, if you'd like to come out, visit RenoAces.com. And a new pitcher for the Aviators, Jake LeMoyne. And we'll see if he can cool down Jordan Luplo. Luplo's homered three times in as many at-bats. To center, to right, and then the last one, a monster shot to left. And LeMoyne will step off a moment and get reset. Oh, I beg your pardon. I think they may have called a strike there on Luplo for not being ready. I saw 0-1. Double check. Here's the pitch, and it is inside. I believe it's one ball and one strike. And it is. The 1-1. And it is low and outside. 2-1. Again, the last Aces player to hit four home runs in a game. Yasmani Tomas on May 20th, 2019 versus Tacoma. The last Aces player to hit three in a game, Josh Rojas on a rehab assignment last August the 8th. And that was also versus Tacoma. That pitch is going to miss. And it is ball four. So Luplo walks this time. And Giancarlo Cintron coming up, and he's doubled three times.
Just imagine walking a guy like this just to have to face Cintron.
There are the doubles for Cintron. He pulled two of them, and then his most recent one he hit toward the right field corner. Just a great approach by Cintron every time as that pitch is inside ball one.
I imagine the teammates knowing he's at the plate, they can ease a little bit because this guy's going to make contact.
Pitch is going to miss down low. One ball and one strike to Cintron.
I think I saw a photo of hush puppies around here. Are there some hush puppies in the stadium right now?
Throw to first and back. Standing goes Luplo.
I just had to get that out. I saw a photo of hush puppies.
I couldn't confirm that for you, but maybe somebody can. There's a swing and a chop to the left side. It's going to be taken by McKinnon. He goes overhand toss to second for one, and Mondu will not hazard the throw to first. So a slow-developing play and a fielder's choice. And it goes 5-4. And Luplo forced out at second base, and now Dominic Fletcher. Yes, it is confirmed. Sam Farnsworth, who I believe, is directing our broadcast tonight. Hush puppies.
Okay. It's good to know. I love me some deep-fried bread.
Maybe you should request some, as the pitch is outside ball one.
Yeah, I mean, it is a magical night. Maybe they could just magically appear somewhere. I'm just
would you
passive-aggressive about it.
Would you agree to eat one on camera?
100%. I'll eat two on camera. Are you kidding me?
Here's the 1-1, and a swing and a tapper back to the mound. It's going to be taken by LeMoyne. Goes to second for one. The throw to first is not in time, as Fletcher able to beat it up the line.
Well, it's a good defensive play by LeMoyne, not just the turn, but able to keep it straight right there, and then Dominic Fletcher going to be quickly coming out of the box to beat that out.
By the way, Dan Martin directing our broadcast tonight, and Sam is on replay. So thanks to Dan. And to Sam and our tremendous camera crew tonight getting you this broadcast on NSN.
Yeah, they're bringing it.
Pitch is going to miss for ball one. So Fletcher, the lone runner at first base, with two outs here in the bottom of the sixth inning. The Aces leading 6-2. They've out-hit Vegas 10-6, a throw to first. And diving back goes Fletcher. There's the pitch, and it is in tight, ball one. Well, we'll see if the hush puppies get here. Glad you sent out the SOS.
just saw a photo and I couldn't stop thinking about them, you know? Trying to manifest.
The swing and ground ball sharply hit past the dive of Davidson into right field. Around second, heading for third is Fletcher, and he'll be held there. Trying for second base is Beer, and the throw gets away, but it's backed up on the third base side of the infield by Smith. And that was almost a disaster there for the Aviators, because if that got away in a left field, Fletcher would have scored in an instance where he wasn't going to originally. But that was hit hard by Seth Beer, and how about Seth hustling for the double there?
Yeah, you mentioned before, Seth isn't exactly known for wheels, but the heads-up play there.
So Beer digging deep to get two, and Fletcher is at third base. Beer at second, and Buddy Kennedy coming up. And Kennedy 0 for 2 with an RBI, had a sac fly to left his first time up. So the Aces making a two-out push in the bottom of the sixth inning, leading 6-2. Here's the pitch to Kennedy, and it is in the dirt. Nice backhand stop by Taylor, and it's ball one. Tyler Sear, by the way, who preceded LeMoyne, did good work tonight for the Aviators. He struck out four. All the outs that Sear recorded came in the form of a strikeout. He gave up one hit, did not allow a run, nor did he walk a batter. Here's the 1-0, and it is a strike on the outside corner, and now 1-1. LeMoyne making his 18th appearance, his 17th in relief, 2-0 with a 6.55 ERA coming into this outing. Pitch is swung on and popped foul out of play to the right. One ball and two strikes to Buddy Kennedy. LeMoyne's made 9 appearances with the A's this season, with the green and gold, does not have a win or a loss, 7.71 ERA. Right-hander out of University of Houston. And the 1-2 is swung on and missed. That pitch down and in, and Buddy Kennedy a strikeout victim for his second straight time. And for LeMoyne, his first strikeout. Aces threaten with 2 outs but don't score. No runs, a hit, no errors, and 2 left. And going to the 7th, the Aces 6, the Aviators 2 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. The Aces leading the Aviators 6-2 as we go to the top of the 7th. It's a new pitcher for Reno, And it's Caleb Berger taking over for Danny Olivero, who was brilliant in his AAA debut. Olivero made one mistake. He gave up a two-run homer to Bo Taylor in the fifth inning. And outside of that, Olivero really shined here tonight, Jess.
Yeah, we know we didn't have a lot of exposure to him, so it's always interesting to see these guys get these promotions. And I said, hopefully he can take an opportunity and take advantage of this recent promotion. And he certainly did after evening himself out after a few tough innings.
That pitch is going to miss inside after the first one did. And it's one ball and one strike to Nate Mondu, who's 0-for-2. Mondu has struck out looking and flied to left. 6,420 tonight's paid attendance, 6,420. Great crowd here at Greater Nevada Field. That pitch in for a strike.
Yeah, they're getting into it. It's 2-1.
What's a magical night?
It is a magical night.
2-1. And it's low and inside, 3-1. Berger, the former Giants, was drafted by San Francisco the ninth round in 2016 out of Indiana University, native of Jenison, Michigan. 3-1 is outside, ball four. So Mondu walks. And that is the fourth walk issued by Aces pitching tonight. Olivero walked three. So lefty Berger to the righty Diaz now in the pitch. And a swing and a fly ball to right. Pretty well hit. Fletcher goes back. Fletcher's on the track. Fletcher is at the wall, and that's gone off the brick, the back of the bullpen. And it caroms back out onto the field. But Jordan Diaz with a two-run homer, and this is a ball game again. It's now 6-4, and the Aces lead trimmed to 2.
Yeah, he's making it interesting. I talked about Diaz's power, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how he matures over time, getting a little more patient at the plate, but that power certainly is there, just for a 22-year-old too. Imagine how good he's going to be in the future.
At the second home run for Diaz in an Aviators uniform. And that pitch is low and outside, ball one. So Mickey McDonald up with the bases clear. And two runs in, still nobody out. That pitch in for a strike, and it's 1-1. Here's the 1-1, and it is a strike. That one clips the outside edge, and now 1-2. Berger making his 36th appearance with the Aces, his 35th in relief, and that is the 10th home run he's allowed this season, as the pitch is up high, and it's 2-2. On the way is swung on and missed. Berger with good zip on that fastball. Well located to the inside. And Mickey McDonald, the tough guy to strike out, goes down swinging for out number one here in the seventh. First time McDonald's been retired tonight.
Yeah, you said it. A guy who's very aggressive in his at-bats. It's a guy you want to get out. Nice work by Berger.
And now Bo Taylor, who's in from the left side. Taylor 1-for-3 with that two-run homer in the fifth. So it's been a pair of two-run homers for the Aviators tonight, as that's in for a strike, and it's nothing and one. Taylor, and just a moment ago, Diaz. Reno 6, Vegas 4, and Berger rocks into his motion, and Taylor bunts third base side, charging, barehanding, and unable to make a play is Drew Stankiewicz. Stankiewicz had no play to make. And Bo Taylor, who more or less bunted for a base hit last night. I thought he got hosed. They scored it an error last night on Bo's bunt in the first inning. Makes a very similar bunt here, and there's no doubt about that. That's a bunt single.
Yeah, and you want to talk about way to even yourself out. A home run in the fifth, and then you're going to even that out with a bunt to get on base. Every element.
Showing his range.
Yes.
And the pitch is a strike, and it's nothing in one. And, you know, you don't see catchers bunt for singles often, but Bo Taylor taking advantage of the infield alignment there, and that is a ring-wise veteran now, Bo Taylor. He has been around the block.
Very loyal to the A's organization and vice versa.
Here's the 0-1, and McKinnon will take up high, and it's 1-1. Well, this now becomes a bit of a high-wire act here for Caleb Berger, because David McKinnon, a guy more than capable of hitting a game-tying home run in this spot, so Berger has to tread very carefully. The 1-1, and McKinnon takes underneath the hands, and it's now 2-1. Six innings for Danny Olivero. He gave up two runs. They were both earned on six hits. Three walks and four strikeouts. He finished his outing with a 1-2-3 inning. That swung on and missed. He got McKinnon to chase upstairs, did Berger, and now it's 2-2.
That's one of those barbecue sauce pitches I've spoken about.
Two balls and two strikes. The second baseman, Cintron, shaded toward the middle. The outfield straight away. Berger swings his leg, deals, and it swung on and missed. That was a nasty slider down and in. And a dangerous hitter dispatched in McKinnon for out number two.
And you're going to follow a barbecue pitch with something low. And you got to keep these guys humble, Zach.
Berger going up high with the strike two and then coming down and in with that slider. So Berger working all parts of the plate there. And now Vince Fernandez, who's 0-for-3. And a pitch is taken for a strike, and it's nothing and one. Center fielder Luplo is slightly towards left, three to the right of second. Duzenac in the shift, shortstop playing to the right of the bag as it's fouled off to the left, and it's nothing and two. 93 on that pitch from Berger and fouled off by Fernandez. Fernandez in the third inning hit a fly ball to left with the bases loaded and one out. And Jake Hager caught it, and then Hager fired a dart to the plate. And it was a inning-ending double play. Jordan Diaz was thrown out at the plate easily. The 0-2 is very high, and it's to the backstop. That one got away from Caleb. And it rings off the netting right back to Maroglio. And a wild pitch. And Bo Taylor up to second base in scoring position.
You know, the guy balancing a ladder was balancing water on top of a beer, and he put that on top of his nose.
Full beer?
Full beer.
Tyler down there doing work?
Yeah.
Here's the 1-2, and it is just off the outside. Wow, it just missed, and it's 2-2. That's one of those pitches, if not for automatic balls and strikes, maybe the umpire gives it to him. Man, and he stuck it. Yeah. It was right where Maroglio wanted it. Two balls and two strikes, and a pitch. And Fernandez takes in the dirt, a breaking ball from Berger, slider into Fernandez, unwilling to chase. Matt Davidson, the dangerous Davidson on deck. Runner at second base with two outs. Again, after that wild pitch, Bo Taylor advanced to second. Payoff pitch, and just off the outside, ball four. That was a fastball that just missed. It wasn't as close as the other one that missed. But it's ball four. That one a little bit more wide. And now two on with two out, and Davidson will get a chance to do some damage here. Davidson, who's hit a bevy of home runs at this ballpark, is 0-for-3 tonight. He's grounded out once and flied out twice.
You know, you mentioned Maroglio's frame game, and part of that game is admitting when you shouldn't have to frame a ball, something that I've noticed across some of these pitches.
It was a chopped foul third base side. And it's nothing in one to Davidson.
Would you call him Dangerous Davidson?
Yeah.
Love that. Love it. You're right, though. The guy packs power. You don't want to slide into him, too, either, when he's playing on any of the corners. He's like a stone wall.
Yeah, ask Dominic Fletcher about that.
Yeah.
Got Davidson's leg to the neck the other night. There's the 0-1. And Davidson swings, hits a high drive deep to left. Hager goes back, and Hager will watch that one go over the signage and maybe onto the tracks. It's a two-out, three-run homer for Matt Davidson, and he has vaulted the Aviators in front. It's 7-6 Vegas.
You know, you called him Dangerous Davidson, and that's exactly why. Now, that ball isn't just gone. It's super gone. And just showing off his power. And we talked about this bottom half that he possesses. And, you know, he's not a guy with a ton of movement, but when he gets a hold of one, that thing's going to go. That was not a cheap shot. Give me those numbers, baby. I want to hear up.
I'm waiting for him. That is a soaring shot off the bat of Davidson, and a stunning development here as the Aviators take a 7-6 lead. Taylor Widener is throwing in the pen. And here comes Gil Velasquez. So this will be it for Caleb Berger, and a tough outing for Caleb. Was almost able to slither away from this inning with the lead intact. But Matt Davidson doing what he's done a lot in his career, hitting a home run here at Greater Nevada Field. In this instance, a three-run shot with two outs to give the Aviators a 7-6 lead. Taylor Widener will be the new pitcher for the Aces. And we're back to Greater Nevada Field after this call to the bullpen break with the Aviators leading 7-6 on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. The Aviators taking a 7-6 lead on a two-out, three-run homer by Matt Davidson, and that is the decisive blow for Caleb Berger as he is out of the game. And Taylor Widener is the new pitcher for the Aces. Widener facing Billy McKinney with the bases clear and two outs. This has been a five-run frame for Vegas, and the pitch is outside ball one. This inning started with the Aces leading 6-2, and now the Aviators lead 7-6.
Widener had a really impressive outing last time. Very impressed.
Here's the pitch, and it's a strike. And it's one ball and one strike. That was on Wednesday, game two of this series. Widener struck out the side in order in the seventh.
That dad power.
Taylor and his wife welcoming a son, Jay, just a few weeks back. As that swung on and missed, and now 1-2. And again, congratulations to the Wideners.
Also a firm believer in that. Seth Brown went through it recently. Tony Kemp.
There's the 1-2. And a swing and a foul back. Look out, Jess. Did you panic a little bit?
No, I was. Yes. Yes. Yes, I did.
The overhang saved you. I would have saved you right here.
Yeah, you would have.
The overhang.
That was amazing. Whew. We're good.
One ball and two strikes. I would have guessed that if you told me you were going to be on camera again tonight, you were going to be eating hush puppies, not dodging the foul balls.
Or like picking my nose or something. Just
one,
yeah.
Two pitches up and away, and it's 2-2. 96 there from Widener.
Almost got drilled by a Jose Altuve foul ball this year.
2-2 is low and in, and now 3-2.
So that would have evened it out for me.
In the press box?
Yeah. I'm one of the few spots that open up in the press box, and it hit the right spot and jolted me.
3-2 is off the outside, so McKinney draws a walk, and we'll see the ninth Aviators hitter this inning. And it's Kevin Smith with the runner at first base. and two outs. And DeSmith 0 for 2. He has walked, fly to center, and fouled out to the catcher. Sam Selman is in the Vegas bullpen. So likely we will see Selman once we get to the bottom of the seventh inning. Here's the pitch from Widener, and it's swung on, fouled back by Smith, and it's nothing and one. Again, Caleb Berriger started this inning, and Berriger went two-thirds. The two outs that he recorded were strikeouts. Berriger gave up three hits, two of them homers. A throw to first, and diving back goes McKinney. And Berriger with five runs allowed in the two-thirds of an inning. The 0-1, and a swing and a miss, and now nothing in two. No balls, two strikes to Smith. Taylor Widener trying to end what has been a long top of the seventh inning for the Aces pitching staff. This will be Widener's 10th pitch. Balanced infield, the second baseman, Cintron shaded toward the middle, the outfield straight away. And Widener's 0-2 is swung on and missed. Came at him with a 95-mile-an-hour heater to the inside, and Widener strikes out Smith and works around the walk, and that ends the inning. But the Aviators bat all nine, and they get five runs on three hits, including a pair of homers. Jordan Diaz, a two-run shot, and Matt Davidson, a three-run blast. There were no Aces errors and one man stranded. As we stand and stretch, the Aces will try and mount a comeback as we go to the bottom of the seventh. The Aviators 7 and the Aces 6 on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. We mentioned Sam Selman was warming up in the Vegas bullpen. It is still Jake LeMoyne out there for the Aviators. As we go to the bottom of the seventh inning, Zach Beirutti, Jessica Kleinschmidt, and now all of a sudden the Aces trail 7-6 after a five-run top of the seventh for Vegas as that pitch misses up high. Ball one from LeMoyne to Maroglio, who's looking to reach base for the first time tonight. Dom is 0-3. He has grounded to short and struck out twice. That pitch is going to miss, and it's two balls and no strikes. Pitch is up and in, and it's 3-0. It's on the way, and it's in tight, ball four, so Maroglio draws a walk. And a good start for the Aces here in the bottom of the seventh inning. We'll see if the Aces can counterpunch. That was a big blow struck by the Aviators in the top half of this inning. I'm capture in many ways stunning with those two homers and a leadoff walk. A good start here, Jess Farino in the bottom of the seventh.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like you get some momentum there. And at this point in the ball game, any way you get on base is a good way. Feels very money ball of me to say that, but when it's a close game like that, everything counts.
By the way, another defensive change, Luis Barrera in right field. So McKinney, presumably, if that's the only change, is out of the game. Fran Reardon comes out, and he'll make the call to the bullpen. Selman coming in. He had been warming going back to last half innings. So call to the bullpen break. One on, nobody out. Bottom of the seventh, the Aviators 7 and the Aces 6. We're back after this call to the bullpen break on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Sam Selman in for the Aviators, and Selman will face Camden Dusenak with one on and nobody out. The Aces trailing 7-6 after a five-run top of the seventh by the Aviators. And now bunt, and it's fouled by Dusenak over the screen and off the facade of the suites. And it's strike one on Dusenak. Presumably there, Dusenak angling to bunt for a hit. Couldn't imagine the Aces sacrificing now in this spot at the bottom of the seventh inning, but they're leaving Dusenak a lot of room on the right side of the infield. The second baseman, Mondu, the shortstop, Smith, back at double play depth, and Dusenak on a bunt again, and this time fouled into first base at foul territory. So quickly, nothing in two on two busted bunt attempts by Dusenak.
We have reached the small ball part of the game. A personal favorite of mine.
You were just talking about Moneyball.
I know. I mean,
they didn't play small ball in Moneyball.
They did play the Angels, however, which Mike Socia, very much a fan.
Very much a fan. And you know, when Mike Socia managed the Angels, that philosophy trickled all the way down to their minor league affiliates. You'd see the Angels affiliates bunting and stealing bases almost recklessly. Is that pitch in the dirt, a slider, and Dusenak, they say, went around on the appeal. Mark Stewart, the first base umpire. And rarely do you see Dusenak get animated, but he threw his hands up. There. It's like a pretty good call.
I didn't have to make the call.
I would say he was somewhat justified in making that call. So Dusenak down on strikes. And a good open for Selman is now Jake Hager looking for his first hit. And he swings and listed foul out of play to the right for strike one. Hager has struck out twice, fly to center. Made an awesome defensive play earlier in this game with that catch in left and then the throw to the plate, the double play that ended the top of the third inning and got the Aces out of a bases loaded one out jam. Pitch is low and it's 1-1. Pitch is swung on and bounced foul third base side. One ball and two strikes to Jake Hager. Outfield swung towards right. pitch is swung on, fouled back. Look out, a couple sweeps over. Looks like that ball rang off the facade and down to the lower bowl. Sweets getting peppered per usual.
Yeah.
Sweets are packed tonight, by the way. It was busy on this level. It was great to see.
I was dodging people running to the bathroom earlier.
It's the 1-2, and it's swung on, fouled back, and here we go again.
Okay. All right. We get it. We get it.
Jake Hager supplying some souvenirs here. One ball and two strikes to Hakes. One on and one out. The ace is trailing by a run, and the pitch. Up and away, and it's 2-2. Sam Selman has a pitch for the A's in 12 games this season. Allowed 7 runs on 12 hits in 14 and 2/3 innings. 16 strikeouts, 4 walks in 14 and 2/3. ERA at 4.30 for Oakland. With the Aviators, Selman's been very good. This is 23rd appearance. He's 2-0 with a 2.86 ERA as Hager swings and taps that one to third. Even with the bag, McKinnon fields. He goes to second for the force out of the lead runner, Maroglio. So 5-4 on that fielder's choice. And now with two away, Drew Stankiewicz coming up, and Stankiewicz 1-for-3, a single and a run scored in the second.
I know I told you that Sam Selman story of the time that Shohei Ohtani took him yard. I forgot to mention it was a historic home run. The solo shot by Shohei Ohtani made Ohtani the second most home run hitter who happened to be Japanese-born. Behind, and I'm sure you can
Hideki Matsui, as that swung on and chopped to the backhand of Smith. A long throw across his momentum to first and in time to get Stankiewicz. What a play by Kevin Smith going deep in the hole to his backhand. And then that strong, accurate throw to first to get Stankiewicz. What a throw by Smith to end the inning. So the leadoff walk, and that was it for the Aces. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one man stranded. And we go to the eighth. It's the Aviators 7 and the Aces 6 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Taylor Widener's first pitch of the top of the eighth inning fouled back by Nate Mondu, and it's strike one to Mondu, who sparked that five-run Vegas seventh inning with a leadoff walk. Aviators got a two-run homer from Jordan Diaz and then a two-out three-run homer by Matt Davidson to take a 7-6 lead after trailing 6-2. That's in for a strike. Vegas has scored 7 unanswered runs after the Aces held a 6-0 lead after 4. And it's all been the long ball tonight for Vegas as the pitch is outside. And it's one ball and two strikes. Bo Taylor, a two-run shot in the fifth. And then we mentioned the Diaz two-run homer and the Davidson three-run homer in the seventh. Widener came on and walked Billy McKinney in that seventh inning, but then struck out Kevin Smith to end the frame as the pitch is just off the outside. 94 there from Widener, and it's 2-2.
Kind of waiting for Mondu to make some action like he typically does. It's not going to happen, though.
That one has swung on and missed. Well, the one time that Mondu did reach base, I mean, that was significant because it sparked that five-run inning. But here he strikes out on a nasty slider from Taylor Widener, and that is out number one. And the second strikeout for Wides got to Smith to end the seventh. He gets Mondu to begin the eighth. And now Jordan Diaz in from the right side. Diaz, 2-for-3. Pitch is low and outside, ball one. Diaz singled in the third, hit that two-run homer that we mentioned in the seventh.
Look at his chain too, he is blinged out.
I knew you were going to notice that.
I usually don't, just because I'm used to it, but that's
a swing and a fly ball to deep right center field. Luplo going over into the gap in the triangle out there, and Jordan Luplo doing it all tonight, makes the catch. Had a long way to go. And Luplo does a fine job getting there for out number two.
Yeah, he covers a lot of ground, and something we're familiar with watching from Dominic Fletcher. He's got all that range out there. And the beauty was you could see Hager didn't move. He had a lot of trust. He's like, you got this.
So two down. And Mickey McDonald, who struck out swinging. The first time that he was retired, his last time up, Berger struck out two in the seventh inning, and to one at the expense of McDonald. A swing and a fly ball popped up foul out of play to the third base seats. Here's the 0-1, and that one pings the outside corner for a strike, and it's nothing and two. Widener out of South Carolina, native of Aiken, South Carolina. Nods yes, and the 0-2 is low and outside. One ball and two strikes. First baseman Beer is midway between the infield and outfield grass. Same with the third baseman Stankiewicz on the other side. And there is a lot of room to the right of second for Mickey McDonald. If he can pull it that way, just to the right of second base, they're leaving him a lot of space. Here's the 1-2, and a swing and a foul back off the top of the netting. .95 on that heater from Widener. Here's the 1-2, and a swing and a foul back. Look out to our lefts.
If every fan takes home a baseball tonight, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, we've had a lot of them. At least every fan in the suites.
Yeah.
You almost took one home.
I almost took one to the dome.
I would never have let that happen. It's the 1-2 pitch. It's swung on and looped towards shallow left, and that's a base hit. And all Mickey McDonald does is hit. I'll tell you what, 3-for-4 tonight, 3 singles. And McDonald on base for the fourth time.
Yeah, you've heard me talk about his approach at the plate. Just, he loves to get out there and attack right quickly. And that's why we see him on base all the time. Another aggressive at bat from him.
So now Bo Taylor, who's been involved tonight. Bo, a two-run homer in the fifth. He laid down a bunt single in the seventh. And here's the pitch, and Taylor takes a strike, and it's nothing and one. That one at the knees. Taylor from Rockledge, Florida. Brevard County. Throw to first, and diving back goes McDonald. Never knew where Rockledge was until I talked with Bo about it. I mean, I've been to all up and down Florida. I just never had been through Rockledge.
Same.
Here's the 0-1, and it is off the outside. And it's one ball and one strike.
It's one of those reminders how big Florida actually is.
I've been to Daytona Beach. And actually, Cocoa Beach really was sticks out in my mind. And I felt like I was going back to 1985.
Oh, I love that.
There's the pitch, and it is low and inside. And it's 2-1. You got the Ron John Surf Shop.
I would buy a shirt that says, I've been to Rockledge.
That's up and outside, and it's 3-1. Maybe Bo has one.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, taking a look on the map. Yeah, Cocoa Beach right out there on the peninsula. And Rockledge just to the west. Here's the 3-1, and a swing and a pop-up. This is toward the left field line. Jake Hager racing to his right. Hager into foul territory makes the catch. Hager gets there and catches the ball in foul ground to end the inning. And Taylor Widener able to pitch around the two-out single hit by Mickey McDonald. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left. To the bottom of the eighth inning. We got a good one here tonight in downtown Reno. The Aviators 7, the Aces 6 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Vegas 7, Reno 6. Zach Mayrudy, Jessica Kleinschmidt, glad to have you with us on a beautiful night at the ballpark. And Domingo Tapia is the new pitcher for the Aviators. And Tapia, the hard-throwing right-hander, making his 24th appearance with Vegas. No record, a 2.03 ERA, 26 and two-thirds innings. He's allowed 12 runs, but only 6 have been earned on 22 hits. 10 walks and 26 strikeouts for Domingo Tapia. We saw him 2 nights ago. It would have been on Thursday. Pitched an inning and a third scoreless. But he was helped out by Aaron Brown that night. That was a game Vegas won 5-4 in 10 innings. And Tapia left with two on in the ninth inning and one out. And Brown was able to strand his inherited runners. And the Tapia takes up and in, or Tapia deals, I beg your pardon, up and in. To the right-handed hitting Jordan Luplo, who's looking for his fourth home run tonight.
And you're looking at a guy who can tap out in triple digits. He just really struggles with command.
It's on the ground to the shortstop, backhanded by Smith. Plants, throws to first. Fine play by Kevin Smith for out number one. That ball was hit decently hard on the ground the entire time by Luplo, and Smith going to his backhand in one motion, picked and fired to first. And Luplo obviously having a career night here with three home runs, and Tapia gets him to begin the bottom of the eighth inning. Yeah, we saw him hit a buck one two nights ago. Here's the pitch, and it's taken for a strike on the inside corner. And it's a nothing and one to Cintron. That was a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. Cintron 3-for-4. He's doubled three times tonight. By the way, that's the first time Luplo's been retired. He walked his last time off the pitch. And it's low and outside, and it's 1-1.
So he is human. Wow.
We've seen a lot of doubles and dingers at the top of the order.
Definitely.
Here's the 1-1. And a swing and a chop toward the middle. Ranging to his left is Smith. Picks it. Does a pirouette. Throws to first. And a great pick on the back end by Davidson. Kevin Smith's having himself an inning at shortstop. And Smith that time having to range toward the middle to his left. Spun around at the rim of the outfield grass. And then Davidson with the soft hands on the back end to secure out number two.
I've been seeing him play a lot of third base up with the A's. And be able to see him play to his true position at shortstop. That's showing you why.
So Dominic Fletcher is 1-for-4. Fletcher, an RBI single in the first. And the pitch is swung on and fouled back to the left for strike one. 98 there from Domingo Tapia, who takes over for Sam Selman. Selman, who inherited a base runner, retired all three batters that he faced and got a strikeout in the process. Pitch is swung on and chopped the other way. That's deep in the hole. It's Smith again. Can he go 3-for-3 this inning? And the throw is on point, but Fletcher able to get it, to beat it up the line, rather. And Dominic Fletcher legs out an infield single. And that would have been ridiculous on the part of Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Going for the trifecta there in the bottom of the eighth inning, deep in the hole. Looking like Noma from my youth.
Definitely Noma vibes. Some Jeets vibes as well.
So an infield single for Dominic Fletcher, and that extends the inning for Seth Beer. And we're going to have power versus power here, Tapia versus Beer. And the pitch is taken by Seth off the outside, ball one. That was a bit low, too, 99 on that heater. Pitch is going to be a strike on the swing. Beer tried to hold up, but definitely committed, and it's 1-1. It was easy to see from up here. No doubt about it. He went through the zone. One ball and one strike. Three to the right of second of the shift. The pitch is swung on and lifted foul off to the left, and it's 1-2. One ball, two strikes. Fletcher at first base being held by Davidson. The pitch up and in. And Seth turning his head out of the way from that. Whew. Domingo Tapia checking in at 98 miles an hour on Seth Beer.
You know, I mentioned some of that command that Tapia struggles with.
Makes for an uncomfortable at bat at times.
Yeah.
The pitch is swung on and lifted high and deep to right. Barrera going back. Barrera at the wall, and Barrera makes the catch up against the fence to end the inning.
Luis Barrera usually likes to show you what's happening. That one, I had no idea. I could not get a read on it.
Barrera all the way to the fence.
Wow.
And Seth Beer just missed, and the inning is over. Wow. No runs, one hit, no errors. And one left, and we go to the ninth. It's the Aviators 7 and the Aces 6 on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. Seth Beer just missed, giving the Aces the lead as he flied to that wall and right to end the bottom of the eighth inning. So we go to the top of the ninth. Vegas still leading 7-6. And now a former Oakland A, J.B. Wendelken, on for the Aces here. Wendelken to face David McKinnon, Vince Fernandez, and Matt Davidson.
Love me some J.B. Wendelken.
Obviously, you got familiar covering him with the Ace.
And it was all because of his warm-up song, Rednecker by Hardy. So I just got hooked.
J.B., Georgia native from Guyton, Georgia. And a pitch is swung on and lined and caught by the shortstop, Duzenac, who fell down as he was on his way to try and step to his right. Duzenac fell down before he had the play, and it did not faze him any. Duzenac, from his knees, made the catch.
Just Duzenac being Duzenac, really.
There's a play to be made. He'll make it. And McKinnon lines out. He's now 1-for-5. And Vince Fernandez in from the left side. Fernandez 0-for-3 with a walk and a run scored. That was part of that 5-run seventh inning for Vegas. Shift onto the right side, and the pitch is outside, and it's the big shift for Fernandez. You got Cintra on the second baseman on the grass and short right. The shortstop Duzenac well to the right of second. The third baseman Stankiewicz is guarding against a bunt. He's tight to the infield grass at the edge of the cutout. And the 1-0 is swung on, fouled back over our heads.
Oh, my goodness.
One ball and one strike. I heard tales of the press box at the old Tiger Stadium being like a shooting gallery.
Yeah.
Like you used to have to, you know, bob and weave your way through calling a game at old Tiger Stadium.
Dodge, dip, dive, and dodge.
As Patches O'Houlihan would say.
The Patches O'Houlihan.
The 1-1 is chopped foul, first base side, and that to kangaroos up onto the netting above the sidewall.
I will say having a guy like Wendelken on the mound right now is a smart choice. He owns a 7-game scoreless streak right now, ranked 6th in the PCL. It's the Hardy walk-up song, I'm telling you.
Still probably plays it in his head.
It was on repeat on my Spotify playlist for about a year.
Here's the 1-2 and a swing and a foul back. Well, I just mentioned Wendelken's streak. Mitchell Stumpo, an 11-game streak without an earned run. And that matches the Aces' longest streak without an earned run. Kevin Ginkle was now with the D-backs.
It matches O'Houlihan.
And Keenan Middleton. What's that? It
matches O'Houlihan.
Wasn't Patches?
Well, I know. I'm saying you said match. I said matches.
That is swung on and missed. And down on strikes goes Fernandez. I can't keep up with you sometimes.
It's okay. Nobody can.
Two down and Matt Davidson, who's 1-for-4, but his one is a biggie. A 3-run homer with 2 outs in the seventh inning. And that gave the Aviators this lead they enjoy now. By the way, looking to the Reno ninth, it'll be Buddy Kennedy, Dominic Maroglio, and Camden Duzenac. 5, 6, and 7 do. And here's the pitch. And a swing and a fly ball lifted out of play to the right, and it's nothing and one. There is somebody standing in the Aviators' bullpen. So maybe not Tapia for the ninth inning.
And, of course, this person's moving every which way for us to not see his number.
Here's the 0-1, and a swing and a foul back over the screen. And it's now nothing and two. Wendelken making his 13th appearance with Reno. That is Garrett Acton, who the Aces have gotten a couple of times in the late innings down in Vegas.
Another flamethrower.
Aces have been a thorn in Garrett Acton's side. Here's the 0-2. And a swing and a miss. And a changeup from JB at 85 crosses up Matt Davidson. And Wendelken punctuates a perfect inning with back-to-back strikeouts. And Davidson way out in front of that changeup. Nothing across for the Aviators in the ninth. So we go to the home half. Kennedy, Maroglio, and Duzenac to face Acton as the bullpen door swings open. He'll be the new pitcher as we go to the bottom of the ninth with the Vegas leading Reno 7-6 on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. Chris Payne lathers up the crowd here at Greater Nevada Field as we go to the bottom of the ninth inning, and the Aces looking for a run to tie and perhaps two to win. And Garrett Acton is the new pitcher for the Aviators. We saw Acton two nights ago, and Acton pitched a scoreless inning in a third, gave up one hit, one walk, and one strikeout. But going back to when the Aces were in Vegas, Acton had a couple of tough moments. He took the loss on the 5th of August, and he gave up on that night the two-run homer to Marolio with the Aces down to their final strike, a dramatic moment. And I think the at-bat of the year for the Aces is his first pitch. Will miss to Buddy Kennedy. Vegas 7, Reno 6. Aces trail despite having out-hit Vegas 12-10. The Aviators have gotten more bang for their buck tonight. That pitch is low, and it's 2-0. Three homers for the Aviators, accounting for all 7 of their runs.
Ooh, I like that. It's the A's way.
Here's the pitch, and it is a strike on the outside, and it's 2-1. I was going to say maybe Jack Cust is available to pinch hit.
We had him on our show recently.
Really?
Vince Catronio, shout out Vince. He does a segment called Where Are They Now? And he managed to get Jack Cust on the show.
2-1 is swung on and lifted to right center field. The outfielder's playing deep in the no doubles alignment. So McDonald comes in and makes the catch. And Kennedy is out number one. Buddy is 0-for-4 with an RBI now and one away. And Dominic Marolio coming up. And Marolio drew a walk to begin the seventh inning. But the Aces couldn't make anything of it. Prior to that, Marolio had struck out twice and grounded to short. So he's 0-for-3 with a walk. Second baseman Mondu shaded toward the middle. Again, the outfielders are very deep as that pitch is low, ball one. And the A's will do this, get to in no doubles alignment in situations in close games after the eighth inning. The 1-0, and it's a strike on the outside corner, and it's even at 1-1 to Marolio.
Marolio looks good with those glasses.
It's a pitch and a swing and a fly ball to straightaway center field, and that is deep. Again, that's where they're playing him, and McDonald makes the catch for out number two. So not this time for Marolio off of Acton. Marolio, when he hit that home run on the 5th of August, he sat on a 3-2 slider. And at that time, he's retired on a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. So the center fielder, McDonald, being kept busy here, and the Aces down to their final out. And on a magical night, let's see if Camden Duzenac has any magic with the Aces down to their final out. Here's the pitch. And Duzenac looks at a fastball off the outside at 96. It's the 1-0. And Duzenac takes strike. Acton just kissed that outside corner that time, and it's 1-1. Should Duzenac extend the game? Jake Hager in the on-deck circle. The 1-1. And a swing and a line drive right field, a base hit, and he does extend the game.
You know, I was just thinking, if it's anybody who's going to make this game stay alive, it's Duzenac.
Lining that one into right field, so the Aces have a shot here. Hager 0-for-4. It's been a frustrating night at the plate, but Hager had that ridiculous throw in the third to save a run at home. Hager, they get 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts, grounded into a fielder's choice his last time up. 3 to the left of second. Here's the pitch, and Hager will take off the outside, ball one. An opportunity for Jake Hager as the possible winning run in the batter's box. 3 homers on the season, if you're thinking about that. Here's the 1-0. And a swing and a ground ball pulled foul through the third base coach's box, and it's 1-1. That was a fastball from Acton at 96.
There's a guy behind home plate with his cell phone ready to go for this possible moment.
Well, you can relate to that.
Yeah. I can pick those guys out of a crowd in a second.
Acton is 3 of 7 in save opportunities. This would be his fourth save if he could get it. Here's the 1-1. And Hager takes low and outside, so it's 2-1. Stankiewicz is on deck. It's 2-1, and Hager swings and drives one. Deep to left. Fernandez is back, and this game is over!
Wow!
A magical night with the Aces is magical indeed, as Jake Hager, with the Aces down to their final out, walks it off. And Reno defeats Vegas 8-7, and what a moment for Hager, who gets a bath at home plate. And the Aces do it again to Garrett Acton. Unreal. Jake Hager, who threw a runner out at the plate earlier in the game, one of the best throws of the year, ends this game with a no-doubter, walks it off over the LED boards to left. And the Aces win 8-7 in dramatic fashion here at Greater Nevada Field. That ball is out in left field. It came back off the signage. And the celebration on at home plate as Hager gets the Gatorade bath. And what a moment for Jake Hager tonight.
Everybody's happy to accept a wet hug from Jake Hager right now. What an awesome moment.
There have been so many instances this season for Jake Hager where he's made hard contact with nothing to show. And that was hard contact and everything to show. A two-run homer. And the Aces, with a big-time win tonight, 8-7. Had Vegas won, they would have been within 6. And Jake Hager's home run widens this Aces lead in the PCL West to 8 games. And a mob scene at home plate, and a magical moment on a magical night for
wow.
Jake Hager.
Nice call, Zach. That was amazing.
Moments like that,
yeah,
just make it easy.
Yeah. Wow.
So for the Aces in the ninth, 2 runs, 2 hits. There were no errors, and Jake Hager assures there are none left on. Our final totals tonight, the Aces 8 runs on 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 hits. And the biggest one of all, the last one off the bat of that guy in the dugout, Jake Hager, who's sopping wet and couldn't care less as he walks back to the home clubhouse. 14 hits for the Aces and no errors. The Aviators, 7 runs, 10 hits, and no errors. The winning pitcher tonight is J.B. Wendelken. Wendelken, who worked a 1-2-3-9 and got back-to-back strikeouts to punctuate it. The winning pitcher, and he is now 5-0 in an Aces uniform. The losing pitcher is Garrett Acton, who just can't seem to figure the Aces in the ninth inning this season. And Garrett Acton blows his 5th save. And Acton is now 2-5. And there was no save. And we'll have the official time of the ball game when we come back. The paid attendance, 6,420, 6,420. The paid attendance, again, the time of the game when we come back for the post-game portion of our broadcast, which is coming up next from Greater Nevada Field. Again, our final score in thrilling fashion, the Aces 7, the Aces 8, and the Aviators 7. And Jess and I are back with the post-game next as a celebration is on in downtown Reno on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. What a night here at Greater Nevada Field. Zach Beirute, Jessica Kleinschmidt. So glad to have you with us. This was a lot of fun. And the Reno Aces, in dramatic fashion, down to their last out, the second instance this season where the Aces have been down to their final out against Garrett Acton and hit a two-run homer. Last time it happened was on August 5th. Dominic Maroglio did it in the top of the ninth inning, and Jake Hager does it to walk it off here in the bottom of the ninth. Hits one over the left field fence, and the Aces come away with an 8-7 win. Jess, this was an awesome game tonight.
It went in slow motion for me, and it was very magical, just as you said, on the night. And just for Hager to come through in such a clutch opportunity for him, and you heard it right off the bat. It was its own little fireworks show. It was fantastic. And also, shout out to Dominic Fletcher. Amazing performance on the Gatorade bath.
Was it Fletch who had the...
I believe it was Fletch, yes.
Okay. Well, let's get you started with our final game totals. The Aces, 8 runs, 14 hits, and no errors. And the Aces ended up leaving 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 runners stranded. The Aviators, 7 runs, 10 hits, no errors, and they left 5, 6, 7 runners stranded. The winning pitcher, J.B. Wendelken, now 5-0. The losing pitcher, Garrett Acton, now 2-5, and that's his fifth blown save. So there was no save in a game that took 2 hours and 48 minutes. The paid attendance was 6,420, 6,420 here at Greater Nevada Field. Well, the Aces blew a 6-0 lead. The Aviators at one point scored 7 unanswered runs up until that decisive swing of the bat from Jake Hager, and it was a slider from Acton. It was a fastball. I was watching the replay, and they were showing the Luplo homers. Let's get into it, because Luplo was the headliner up until Hager finished this game the way he did. In the top of the first inning, the Aces got 4 straight hits off of Hogan Harris. Jordan Luplo, the first of 3 home runs in a row for him, to make it 1-0. Then Giancarlo Cintron, the first of 3 doubles in a row for him. And then Dominic Fletcher with an RBI single to make it 2-0 after Seth Beer doubled Buddy Kennedy with a sack fly. That gave Reno the early 3-0 lead. And it was clear to see early on, Jess, that the Aces were getting to Hogan Harris. Like, he really wasn't fooling them here in the early going.
Yeah, and I was really interested to see how Jordan Luplo was going to perform in the leadoff spot. I love a guy who is aggressive, and I know a lot of guys like to be that first hitter to take advantage of the pitcher, and he did that times 3, and it was really cool to see. And then you think you're done, but then here comes Cintron, and it was a 1-2 punch that you do not want to have to pitch to.
So the Aces leading 3-0 going into the second with 1 out. Drew Stankiewicz singled, and that set up Luplo for a home run to right. He homered to dead center his first time up, and then homered to right. He hit all fields with those 3 blasts, and that 2-run homer made it a 5-0 ball game. The next batter, or the next run for the Aces, their 6th, came in the 4th with 1 out. Jordan Luplo with a home run, and Luplo's home run would make it a 6-0 ball game. Luplo's 3rd home run, and this he pulled out to left. So Luplo, Jess, obviously in a situation here where he has just been sent down, and obviously he's had something to prove, and different guys might handle it in different ways, but he's done nothing except hit doubles and dingers.
Yeah, we were talking about that, and it's not that he ever lacked power. The power was always there. He needs those consistent at-bats to gain that confidence. And he said so himself, doubles he loves hitting, home runs he loves hitting, but I would really like to see him even that out with some more of those base knocks. And he was talking about the bloopers is what he really wants, and he's going to eventually get those and more of those consistent at-bats and then become that player that he ultimately wants to be.
By the way, Hogan Harris went an inning in 2/3. He gave up 5 runs on 7 hits. Brian Howard gave up that 6th run, the 3rd home run to Luplo. Howard went 2 innings, allowed 1 run on 2 hits, hit a batter, and he struck out 2. Meanwhile, on the other side, Danny Olivero probably didn't get his due from us tonight just because there's a lot of other things that happened. You know, Luplo with the 3 homers and Cintron the 3 doubles, Hager obviously the walk-off. But Danny Olivero in his AAA debut, Jess, was awesome. He shut down the Aviators through 4. He would give up hits in 3 of his first 4 innings before the Aviators touched him for 2 runs in the 5th inning with 1 out. Mickey McDonald singled, and then Bo Taylor with a 2-run homer to right. That made it 6-2. But that was really the only blemish for Olivero. He would retire the final 5 batters that he faced and end his outing with his only clean inning of the night in the sixth inning. But to Olivero, six innings, he allowed two runs, both earned on six hits, three walks, and four strikeouts. I was impressed tonight.
Yeah, and he had an opportunity to unravel. We see the very same theme with these younger pitchers, and especially a guy who just got promoted. We were talking about the different levels of the game and seeing if he was able to capitalize off of the opportunity, and he certainly was. And like I said, a little bit shaky, but he was able to even himself out, which is my favorite thing in a young pitcher, really proving himself tonight.
So that took us into the seventh inning, where the Aces held a 6-2 lead. And then Caleb Berger came in, and Berger got off on the wrong foot. He walked Nate Mondu, and then Jordan Diaz with a two-run homer out to right. That drew the Aviators to within two. That made it 6-4. After Mickey McDonald struck out, Bo Taylor, don't tell the catcher he can't bunt for a hit. He dropped down a bunt single. Should be his second one in as many games. They scored yesterday's an error, but Taylor the bunt single. And then David McKinnon struck out, so you figured, okay, Berger has found it a little bit here. But then Vince Fernandez walked, and Matt Davidson came up, and always dangerous is Davidson, especially. He loves to hit here at this ballpark. He had eight home runs in 11 games to start the season with the Aces, and Davidson with a three-run homer onto the train tracks. That made it a 7-6 Vegas lead, and all of a sudden, the Aviators had risen from the ashes, and Matt Davidson's done a lot of that
at this
ballpark.
You called him Dangerous Davidson, and that's exactly why. That's not a guy you want to let up in any way to, especially some of those high-velocity balls that you're going to be throwing to him. And, yeah, he made it a different ballgame.
Berger went two-thirds of an inning, allowed five runs on three hits, two walks, two Ks, and he was set to take the loss up until the ninth inning. Taylor Widener and J.B. Wendelken combined on an inning and a third scoreless relief down the stretch. The Aces, meanwhile, offensively were frustrated. They drew a leadoff walk. Marolio drew a leadoff walk in the seventh, and that amounted to nothing. And then a two-out single by Fletcher in the eighth. He was stranded at first. And then Garrett Acton coming in for the ninth inning. He got two quick fly ball outs to center, Kennedy and Marolio. But then Camden Duzenac doing Camden Duzenac things, not letting the Aces go down 1-2-3. He singled to right. That set up Jake Hager, and I believe it was on a 2-1 pitch to Jake Hager that he hit out to left field. It was a no-doubter. You heard it off the crack of the bat. Jess said it sounded like a mini firework, and that's exactly what it sounded like. You knew when ball met bat that ball was gone. And what an ending, and what a game for Jake Hager. We didn't even talk about the great defensive play he had to end the third, where he caught that ball hit by Fernandez with the bases loaded and one out and made that amazing throw home. It was a 7-2 double play getting the Aces out of that inning. So essentially, Hager kind of starts it for the Aces, preventing a run, and then finishes it with that two-run homer. What a night for Hayes.
Yeah, we were talking, obviously, the game ender, and we want to talk about Duzenac. There's no Duzenac success without Hager's success and vice versa. And you mentioned that throw, which I totally, totally loved. I love when an outfielder is not letting up and not making sure he's paying attention to everything that's happening in the infield. And just the way that Marolio was so casual about it was fantastic as well.
So that's how it went down tonight. A magical night with the Aces, a magical night for Jake Hager as Reno walks it off on a two-run blast by Hager. And the Aces with an 8-7 winning. And our final totals, Reno, 8 runs, 14 hits, no errors. They left 10 stranded. Vegas, 7 runs, 10 hits, no errors. They left 7. The winning pitcher, J.B. Wendelken, now 5-0. The losing pitcher, Garrett Acton, now 2-5. No save. A game that took 2 hours and 48 minutes. And the paid attendance, 6,420 here at Greater Nevada Field. Turning the page to tomorrow's contest, a 6:05 first pitch. We'll have the pregame coverage, Jess and I, at 5:55 on the Aces Digital Network and MILB TV. Bullpen game for the Aces. We'll tell you why tomorrow. Colin Wiles set to make the start for the Aviators. He is 8-11, a 5.53 ERA. I'm guessing it's probably Tyler Holton tomorrow for the Aces. We'll wait and see. 6:05 first pitch, 5:55 our pregame on the Aces Digital Network and MILB TV. We hope you'll join us for that. You have fun tonight?
I did. And the Aces are now 5-1 in themed jerseys.
Wow. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Themed jersey a couple months ago, Stone Garrett on NSN hit the walk-off.
Well, I tell you
so
what.
So here we go. It's the NSN themed jersey confluence of events, the magic.
And speaking of magic, your call on that walk-off was chef's kiss, baby.
Thank
Loved
you. Well,
it.
A chef's kiss to Jake Hager, because that was an exciting finish and a great finish, a deserving finish for Jake. That about does it for us tonight. Thanks so much to you, the fans, for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed our broadcast. Special thanks to the Aces front office staff, but Drew McDonald and Adam Nichols on the PR side, AJ Grimm and Chase Groden running the social media. Dan Martin directed our broadcast tonight. Sam Farnsworth on replay, our amazing camera team. Ice, our stage manager here in the booth. My partner is the great Jessica Kleinschmidt. I'm Zach Beirute saying so long tonight from downtown Reno. Again, our final score in walk-off fashion, the Aces 8, the Aviators 7. We have enjoyed bringing this game to you, and we will see you tomorrow if you're here with us. And for now, so long. This has been Reno Aces Baseball on Nevada Sportsnet.